Rangers, AM 920 WGNU. As the Sloan Ranger would say, thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work.
Red Defender, you've got to help us. Mole Man has fired his darkening missile towards the sun. It'll put the world in shadow.
Don't worry. Too late to catch the missile. I'll just fly quickly around the Earth in reverse time.
The Red Defender begins to circle the Earth faster and faster until his momentum literally changes Earth's rotation on its axis.
I'm back, citizens. No need to thank me. Strange. It's dark in the middle of the afternoon. And where is everyone? You, old man, with a flashlight.
I was young just a minute ago.
I must have gone the wrong way and sped up time. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown will be in live beginning at 6:30 this morning. We're going to bring you a segment of the best of the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll talk about traffic and weather at the bottom of the hour.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So you can catch us from Xenia to Zimbabwe live every day on the web. Last week, I believe it was last week, we told you that we were going to have a conversation about slavery. We had on our show the author of the book Babylon Sisters, Pearl Klieg. And she talked about in her book, a novel, about young Haitian women being kidnapped and sold into sexual slavery. This was a fictional account. But the issue is by no means fiction. There are women that are out there in our world, the world that we live in, that are being subjugated to awful, awful, awful circumstances. And circumstances born out of their gender every time. And circumstances born out of their place of birth, oftentimes. And circumstances born out of the world's inability to see this fully, see this crime fully. And this is a very, very serious and awful circumstance and situation that we find ourselves in. And we need to have a discussion about this issue. And what happens to women who actually find themselves in slavery. And this is not the type of an enslavement that people of African descent experienced when we were stolen from Africa and taken all over the world to serve as free labor. This is a different kind of enslavement. And it is slavery nonetheless. To facilitate this conversation about slavery of women, we have joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, Leora Kasten, the Communications Director for the American Anti-Slavery Group. Leora, good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have Beatrice Fernando from Boston, Massachusetts, who actually was sold into slavery, modern-day slavery. Beatrice, good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have both of you here. I'd like to start with you, Leora. I'd like to start with a discussion about the statistics. When we talk about modern day slavery, how many women are we talking about?
Well, the total number is estimated at 27 million, and the statistic is that 80% of the people being trafficked across the world are women.
And when we talk about where these women are coming from, is there a particular place in the world that we find this happening more so than other places?
It's difficult to say. The largest, I guess, slave community is actually in the India, Nepal, Bangladesh area. But it happens all over the world, and you still have chattel slavery in Mauritania and Sudan, and you know all different kinds of slavery all over the world.
And the type of slavery that we have that we're talking about today is sexual slavery. Explain that to us. What are we talking about?
Well, there are different methods employed when a woman or a girl finds herself in a situation of sexual slavery, but I'll give you one example. In Nepal, it is unfortunately extremely common that a young girl or a woman will be either kidnapped or tricked into being trafficked across the Nepal-India border, and then these girls, sometimes as young as 5 years old, are taken to Bombay to work in brothels, and they are forced to see 20 or 40 clients a day. And when I say forced, I mean that these girls, their will is broken. They spend days being locked up, beaten, and not fed in order to break their will so that they will see these clients. And they very often contract HIV and are having countless abortions every year because no protection is used whatsoever. And they usually die there.
And when we talk about five-year-old girls, is this common that we have children, girls, used in this industry like this?
Yes, very common. Depending on what country or part of the world you're talking about, in Thailand, there's an enormous sex tourism industry, and that's really using young Thai girls.
It sounds just awful. It sounds hideous, if you will, that the word tourism is attached to something like that. But people come, men come from other countries and pay as part of their trip to engage in this crime.
Yes, absolutely true.
Where are the men coming from?
All over the world. They could be businessmen. In the case of Thailand, you know, it could be businessmen on, you know, trips on the company dollar. Someone coming, you know, just for vacation. In the case of the United States, it could be your next-door neighbor.
In the case of the United States, do we have any statistics on the number of men that do this, that leave the United States, or even in the United States, are part of these types of crimes?
I haven't seen any numbers, but I do know that a lot of the sex slaves here in the United States are from the former Soviet Union, you know, the Ukraine, Moldova, and often they're tricked into coming here. Some of the women think that they're coming to the United States to be prostitutes, but they don't realize that their passports will be taken away, they have no freedom, and they can't leave, and they will be abused. In other cases, they think they're coming to be waitresses or models, and they're just completely tricked and forced into this type of slavery.
Is the sexual slavery industry here in the United States different than the sexual slave trade industry in, say, Thailand? Is it done any differently?
Yes. The U.S. government has been really active in combating human trafficking and slavery. The State Department issues a report every single year on every country and how bad slavery is there and what they're doing to eradicate it. In the case of Thailand, it doesn't seem to be that the government is doing very much to combat it. And it is much more out in the open. In the United States, often it's a crime ring that's in charge of this. And we are, you know, here much more you can trust the police, as opposed to other countries. The women, they have no recourse. They're afraid to go to the police because many times the police are being bribed and they're complicit in it. You know, they're their clients.
But there are still a lot of similarities between Thailand and the United States in terms of breaking the women's will and in terms of intimidating the women to feel like they can't or they shouldn't go to the police.
All over the world. Well, that's what the really interesting thing is. All over the world, the methods that these slave masters use are the same.
And in terms of what the United States can do outside of the borders of the United States, I know that we have trade relations with Thailand. I know that there is money from our country that goes to Thailand in various different ways. What is the United States government doing to pressure other countries to stop this from happening? Because we have citizens that are going to Thailand for this very reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that the U.S. Is doing with their State Department report that they put out every single year, they classify the countries in terms of Tier 1, 2, and 3, 3 being the lowest, meaning that slavery is a terrible problem in that country and the government is not doing enough to combat it. And countries like Sudan are in tier number three. So if a country stays in tier three for a certain amount of time, the U.S. will then impose economic sanctions. But it doesn't seem to be vigilant enough. Certainly the report that has been issued for the last about 5 years, that's an enormous step in U.S. foreign policy. But, I mean, we're talking about eradicating slavery. We really need to be more proactive.
Well, is Thailand in Tier 3?
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay, so has Thailand been there long enough for financial sanctions to be issued against Thailand?
As far as I know, there are no economic sanctions against Thailand thus far. I'd have to double check the facts, but as far as I know, there hasn't been any effort on the part of the United States to really combat trafficking in Thailand.
And when we talk about economic sanctions being issued against any country, do we know of any country outside of the United States that the United States has imposed economic sanctions on for trafficking in human beings?
No, not that I know of. I know that the United States has economic sanctions on certain countries that engage in that practice, but it's not for those reasons. For instance, the U.S. has economic sanctions on Sudan, but that's because they're a state sponsor of terrorism.
So, I mean, that's our government's position on that. So it doesn't have anything to do with our government's position that Sudan is engaging in the trafficking of human beings. And before we go to break, we have to take a break here, and I'd like to come back and talk to Beatrice after our break. But, Leora, talk to us about the American Anti-Slavery Group. What is that?
Well, we're a nonprofit, and we work to abolish modern-day slavery all over the world. And as you said, sex trafficking, sex slavery, yeah, that's one form of slavery that we see a lot. Debt bondage, chattel slavery, and other forms of the grossest forms of forced labor. And we're an activist organization where we do grassroots activism. We rally the government, and we really rely on the support of Americans. We really do have the power in our freedom to speak out and to work to abolish slavery like no other people has the power.
And one more quick question before we go to break. There have been a lot of Americans, there have been a lot of people around the world that have rallied against companies like Nike for how they treat their employees as forced laborers. We're talking about something different than that when we are talking about slavery, are we not?
Well, we don't deal with what people call sweatshop labor.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about slavery, we're talking about people that are forced to work under threat of violence without any compensation.
And so, and oftentimes when we're talking about sweat labor, we're talking about people that work for crummy wages and under horrible circumstances and are also forced to do that.
Right.
Debt slavery, what is that?
Debt bondage is when a person is held as collateral against a debt that either they owe or a relative owes. In India, it's very common that children are taken to work because their parents owe a debt, and the child can be born into slavery in this way and then die in slavery because their parent or grandparent or great-grandparent had owed this debt and it's still accruing interest.
We have to take a break, folks. I am talking to Leora Kasten, the Communications Director of American Anti-Slavery Group from Boston, Massachusetts. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Beatrice Fernando. Beatrice was actually...
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around. Liz Brown will be live in the studio momentarily. This is AM 920 WGNU. Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 6 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 from West Florissant through Shreve. Look for an incident that's been cleared on the ramp to Shreve, but you can expect heavy traffic as a result. Westbound 5570 from Bow Avenue westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill into 255. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at 44. Look for some delays all the way up into Doherty Ferry area. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through past 270. Look for some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at Highway 70. Look for delays in the right lane. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Highway K. Look for everything to be moving at the speed limit, although it is starting to become congested. Eastbound 70 from East Diversity Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some slowdowns there as well. And eastbound 40 is moving well from Mason through McKnight. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for the weekend. For today, look forward. A heat advisory is in effect through the end of Friday, through 7 p.m. Friday. An excessive heat warning is in effect. Otherwise, very hot and humid, partly cloudy, chance of showers. With a high around 101, the heat index will be around 111 by this afternoon, so take precautions, stay cool however you can. Partly cloudy this evening, low in the mid-70s, the highest heat index reading will still be around 106. For Friday, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. Saturday, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s again. Then Sunday, it starts up again, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s, but the heat index will be around 103 by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 82 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers.
Myers, Joe Scoggins, Mr. Scoggins. How long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like I'm invisible. Say that you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Say that you won't.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. And if you want to email me, that you can do as well, revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Well, where do I want to begin here? Well, apparently all kinds of folks are all kinds of disturbed. All kinds of folks are all kinds of disturbed at the Democratic Party. And you know what? I understand. How do you spell spell, let me see, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess you spell coward like you spell Democrat. You spell feckless like you spell Democrat up there, Democratic majority, let me put it that way. How on earth can you give George Bush more eavesdropping authority? You know, where do you get off giving George Bush, boy George, more eavesdropping authority? And not only do you give it to boy George, you cut the cord, you cut the secret cord out of it. We don't even have a FISA court anymore. They don't even take it to a secret court to get a secret warrant to allow for this eavesdropping. They now have stripped that out, and it's up to Alberto Gonzalez to decide whether or not your stuff gets spied on. That's the decision that came out of this Democratic majority. I mean, what the hey?
What the? Why did we get a Democratic majority? If this is the stupid stuff that's coming out of it, that would be SS, stupid stuff, or whatever you want to call it. Stupid stuff. There is one quote, Democrats epitomize weak. Your every pore exudes feebleness. Huh. Huh. Your every pore exudes feebleness. I got an email from the Libertarian Party. They're outraged by it. I've gotten emails from conservative organizations. They're outraged by it. Who are you protecting? What good are you? Why do we care about you? 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, you need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, I'm going to be, it's time for Eye on the Loom. And we're going to be dissecting more of these firefighters' issues. We're going to be dissecting more of these firefighter issues. We're going to go back to some of the interview that I did with Fire and the White Firefighters Organization 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And see where we are today. We have a lot of history that we've got to continue to put out here, and we've got to all of the strands here. We've got to dissect this issue. And that's what we're going to be doing in the in the 7 o'clock hour on Eye on the Loo. That's what we're going to be talking about. I'm also going to be sharing with you some of the interesting things that are going on in the Republican Party. I think we need to have a conversation about some interesting things that are happening in the Republican Party as well here in the state of Missouri. So we've got a bunch of things to go over in Eye on the Loo. And then, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Justice for Reggie Jamala Rogers. We're going to be talking about an interesting case of a man who faced death a couple of times. Finally, he was able to get out of jail, but he had to plea an Alfred plea. We're going to be talking to him about that. Why would you plea anything if you're innocent? We're going to talk about that in Justice for Reggie, in our Justice for Reggie segment. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I love to see things that underscore how correct we are on the issues on this show. A new public poll has found that nearly two-thirds of Iraqis oppose the plans to open their country's oil fields to foreign companies. Two-thirds of the Iraqi people say, no, you can't just come in and take our stuff. You just can't come in and take our stuff. No, you can't do that. So we have that conversation. We've had that conversation on this show about the privatization of Iraqis and their oil, and that when you read the reports, the Baker Report, at the heart of it, the second line in it, is the fixation on the size. It's always, this country's always had a fixation on size. The second line in it was a fixation on the size of the Iraqi oil reserves. And two-thirds of the people are in opposition to the Baker Report on that issue. I don't think they're going to be able to just come in and snatch their stuff for real. I don't think we're going to be able to come in and snatch their stuff. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Would it time you let me know what's real and going on below? But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name, say my name, my name, my name, my name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get up, you need to get to me. Lord, we have so much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609 is the fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Craig, good morning.
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. What's on your mind this morning?
I wanted to actually give you a compliment or compliment you on bringing some much-needed backbone to St. Louis. I was born here, so I know that there have been many people who were supposed to be representing the black community who didn't really do much for the, you know, their community, even when they were elected into political office to do it. And I was listening to something, and it was a song saying that there is a solution. I believe the Steve Miller Band, Flying Like an Eagle, in that song it says, there is a solution. And there is a solution to the problems of the black community. But if the people who are charged with helping to bring that solution about are actually the ones who are doing the opposite of that, then there's no way we're going to get to that solution. So, Liz, I wanted to compliment you, especially on the Highway 70 shutdown. I mean, that was the only time that I actually heard white people getting on the radio saying, well, maybe we ought to give these, maybe black people need to have more representative in the construction field. I mean, and they weren't saying that because they had a sudden change of heart. They were saying that because they were confronted with power, Liz,
mm-hmm.
and that power made them say, well, wait a minute, maybe we need to rethink some things. And I want to give credit where it's due because I know MOCAN started that. But you picked up the ball, Liz, and you ran with that. And I just hate the way that it turned out. And I know
that's all about the leadership of it. I will never let it go what Eric Vickers and those did with that. And how did that work out for him?
Instead of shutting down Highway 40,
that's
which
correct.
Would have
sealed the deal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It would have gave power to this city. It would have changed the construction industry in this city. Instead of doing that, Liz, there was a prayer vigil held on the side of the highway.
Yeah, and I remember going after them tooth and nail about that kneel down crap that they had over there.
It was
that kneel down, please be nice to us. That was just ridiculous.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with praying, but black people, wasn't the time for praying.
That wasn't the time to get on your knees, because that's all that was. It wasn't about prayer. It was about getting on your knees. There's a big difference.
And Liz, I want to say one other thing, and I wanted to compliment your comrade, Irene J. Smith, because what she did down there, I believe it was during the redistricting, when she took all those hits for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of the bravest ones, because I know you speak of courage a lot, Liz, and that was one of the most courageous things I've seen. I feel that you and Irene back-to-back, y'all can hold off anything, Liz.
All right, now, thank you so much. Take care now. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Jerry.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Here's this broken record again that I was criticizing about our politicians. Quincy hit it on the nail yesterday. They're just bought entities. They have no interest in the American people, period. The Democrats or Republicans. And as I said before, they're doing the J. Edgar Hoover on most of them. They got some on most of them. And if they don't do what they told, they send them that brown envelope with them pictures and tapes. They're going to do what they told. This country has been consumed by multi-corporations. And the American people are just guinea pigs, and they don't care nothing about them. They're just going to do what they're told, because to try to destroy George Bush would destroy themselves, but they got something on them. They're doing it because they're under siege by the same people that they take money from. That's my comment, and thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. This FISA legislation becomes law on Sunday. It allows your government, the NEA, to eavesdrop on calls made by or to Americans. Made by or to Americans. Have y'all lost your dang mind? Have you lost your dang mind? All four Democratic senators in the White House, as well as a Democrat facing re-election next year, Senator Max Baucus, opposed it. Mitt Romney opposed it. Car phone.
Good morning. How are you, Liz?
I am outstanding.
Yeah, you're dropping it like it's hot, right? I'm not getting on my knees to be stabbed in my back.
There you go.
But at the end of the day, I was listening to this gas fume expansion that we're pumping into our tanks and not getting the accurate amount of gas that we're paying for. Senator McCaskill brought it to that industry the other day, and they said it would be cost prohibitive to put the automation in place to give us an accurate gasoline amount, because what happens with the heat, the fumes rise, and it's digital, and it gives you a false reading. And when you pay for, let's say, if it's $2.50 a gallon, you're getting one-tenth less than that gallon. And the test that you can take if you got a gallon can of gasoline is pump a $2.50 gallon amount in that thing, and you'll see you only got 90% in that gallon can.
Mm.
So what I did was I took it back to the attendant and showed him we only got 90%. And I said, and the cheapest way to do is go one-tenth over and pay you for the actual gallon, because I wasn't, you see where I'm going with that?
Okay, kind of.
Well, if they shorten you on one-tenth, then go two-tenths over.
Gotcha.
That way you got your actual gallon.
Gotcha. And what did they do when you took it back to them?
Oh, didn't charge me for that one-tenth over. Therefore, it didn't cost the company for new automation, per se, to come into play to give you the accurate thing. It's just a thing of common sense. And back to the liberty stripping that this president is doing to this country, it's just outrageous. And those that go for the okey-doke, shame on you.
Yeah, shame, double shame on you. And a pox on your house. Thanks for your call.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. This goes into effect on Sunday. How do you unring the bell? I really don't want to hear any talk about, we're going to go back and fix this. Kiss my fix this grits. Because he shouldn't have done it anyway. You've given Boy George the most corrupt administration, the most lawless administration. You know, heck, it should be personal to you. He said no to you. He said, you can't, if you subpoena my people, I'm going to say, bump you. You ain't gonna, none of my people are gonna respond to you. They don't have to respond to any stinking subpoena. Bump y'all! And you said to him, please, sir, can I have some more? You said, you wanna spy on us? Sure, spy on us, cause we're too punk to do anything to you. Please, sir, can I have some more? You missed the spot. How do you defend giving Boy George, lawless, corrupt Boy George, lawless and doubly corrupt Alberto Gonzalez, who doesn't know the truth because the truth ain't in him, you give him the authority to decide who to spy on? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. 1-877-920-WGNU. Rick.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I really don't understand how they did that. The only thing I can come up with is they knew they didn't have the numbers or whatever to fight him. But
oh, come on!
I'm just saying, it's the only thing I can come up with.
Come on, okay.
But once again, we got to go back to this. The Republican Party was voted in the office, okay? So people got what they paid for when they bought this Republican Party. Now it's come back to bite them in the behind, okay? And we don't have enough Democrats to fight them
We had all it takes is one. All it takes is one. Okay.
I know they should have stood up.
That's what I'm saying. So never say there's not enough. Never say there's not enough, because as long as there's blood pumping and the ability to stand up or to sit in your wheelchair and roll your behind in there, you can fight this.
I understand. I said there's nothing wrong with fighting. Even if you know you're going to lose, still go ahead and fight it. You know, you make your point.
You need to have faith. How you know you're going to lose? Unless you tell yourself.
I understand if you just look at a numbers game. But my point is this. We have gotten what some people have paid for, I guess you could say.
No, now, we've gotten what some people have stolen. But go ahead.
Well, that as well. But what we have to remember is we got to get in here. We got to vote. We got to get up off our rusty dusties, get out and vote, get to the polls, be informed, know who's in your corner, know who's against you, and vote our interest. Do
period
that vote
dot.
Against our interest.
Period dot. Listen, folks, I'll be back with Eye on the Lou. Stay with me.
More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Chase. They might break through today. One of the two holes being drilled into a Utah mountainside could reach the site where six miners have been trapped for 4 days in a matter of hours.
The 2.5-inch drill will access those miners sometime this afternoon. The 8 5/8 drill will access those miners by sometime tomorrow.
Mine owner Robert Murray says if they're alive, they can be sustained until they can be pulled out.
I estimate from just coming out of the mine a few hours ago that it will take about 6 days to access the miners through our underground workings.
The withering heat wave is pushing power companies to record levels in some states. Weather Channel meteorologist Wayne Verno says it's been hot since last weekend, and the forecast calls for only slight cooling.
We may see a bit of a cool down across parts of the mid-Atlantic. When I say a cool down, temperatures dropping into the 90s as opposed to the 100s.
The delicate docking dance begins tomorrow as the Space Shuttle Endeavour closes in on the International Space Station. ABC's Vic Ratner says this dance involves some complicated steps.
Space physics rules say the lower you are in orbit, the faster you travel. So Endeavour is chasing the space station from a lower orbit, catching up a little bit with each turn around the Earth. The astronauts aim to dock the two craft together tomorrow and start transferring 5,000 pounds of cargo that the shuttle is delivering.
Luciano Pavarotti is in a hospital in northern Italy where a spokesman will only say he's undergoing tests. The singer underwent surgery last year for pancreatic cancer. There's a new sheriff in town in the wild, wild west of the World Wide Web, a number of them actually. A growing number of large companies like Viacom are hiring people specifically to trawl popular websites like YouTube looking for copyright violations. These video analysts called hashers alert the companies who send complaint emails, and sometimes the stolen videos vanish. This is ABC News.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
A rare twister touched down in New York City yesterday. ABC's David Muir says a storm grew in Brooklyn.
Investigators with the National Weather Service have been on the scene here in Brooklyn, New York, trying to determine what the families here had suspected since early this morning, that this was, in fact, a tornado. And late today, they did confirm that it was an F2 a touchdown here. Those violent spiraling winds of at least 111 miles per hour ripping rooftops off the homes here and sending branches crashing into the windows.
We probably won't see unflattering photos of Beyonce in sweatpants and a T-shirt. She believes in being prepared to be glamorous at the drop of a hat. She says she always carries 3 pairs of sunglasses, black, brown, and gold, and a pair of designer shoes with her so she can dress up at a moment's notice if someone asks to take her picture. 15 men in 5 fire engines, 2 men in a boat, were deployed on a rescue mission for a duck trapped in a drainage tunnel in Britain. The duck was finally freed after 3 hours. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with this WGNU local report. In the news this Thursday, 5 people, 4 of them juveniles, are facing charges for a string of armed robberies in Belleville. 17-year-old Markham J. Randolph is charged with 3 counts of armed robbery. He is legally considered an adult. Police have also released the identities of 2 of the juveniles who have been certified to stand trial as adults. They are 16-year-old Denise A. Thomas Jr., who is charged with 5 counts of armed robbery, and 17-year-old Carlos A. Jones Jr., who is facing 1 count of armed robbery. Jones was 16 in early July when the crimes were committed. The other 2 suspects will be tried in the juvenile justice system. Their identities will not be released. A Madison County veterinarian is facing charges of animal abuse and cruelty. A neighbor of Dr. Georgia Wilson returned a horse that had gotten free to her farm in Maryville Sunday. The neighbor found 3 dead dogs and a number of other animals living in deplorable conditions. Wilson and her husband left town on July 26th, leaving their 17-year-old daughter in charge of taking care of the animals. Wilson has been on staff at Webster Groves Animal Hospital for 8 years. She is on administrative leave until her case is cleared up. Wilson is scheduled to make a court appearance in Madison County today. And downtown St. Louis is getting a 30,000-square-foot, $8 million plaza. The plaza, which should open next spring, will feature an outdoor balcony, a cascading waterfall, and sculpture. It is designed to be a place for lunchtime and evening music, movie screenings, and street performances. It will be located across the street from the old post office. A wall at the rear of the plaza will provide a site to project movies. The Gateway Foundation, the Danforth Foundation, Downtown St. Louis Partnership, and Downtown Now worked out the details with financial support from other groups. The plaza, which will be privately owned, will be open to the public. That's the news up to 7 o'clock this Thursday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now, here's Howard Morton with a check on traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 at Jennings Station Road and Lucas and Hunt. Look for an accident at Lucas and Hunt. Expect very heavy volume as a result. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is starting to build from the Illinois Bank all the way into the landing. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto into the 5570 split. Look for delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Expect heavy volume, especially around the 44 exchange. Westbound 70 from West Florissant through Shreve. Look for that incident's been cleared, but expect some slowdowns as a result. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today as well as tomorrow, look for an excessive heat warning in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow. Otherwise, today, very hot and humid, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, high around 101, with the highest heat index reaching around 111 by the afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. The heat index should be around 106 early this evening. Friday, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Saturday, hot, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. Then Sunday, we start up again, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. The heat index will reach over the 100-degree mark in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon. Stick around now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We have 80 degrees, scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 82. Liz Brown is on the way with Eye on the Lou. A special Eye on the Lou segment is up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of 7 o'clock hour. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knock-down dragouts at the Board of Aldermen. Who is
who? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Lou. And our Eye on the Lou this morning is on the fire department. I'm here with Wayne Luster, Captain Wayne Luster. Captain, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
So often on my show, throughout the days and the hours, I talk about decisions that have been made and the politicalness of these decisions, that so many times people think that decisions are being made because they're right or they're wrong or they're needed or they're not. But the reality of those decisions that are being made is that they're being made on based on politics. And that brings us to the topic that we want to cover today about the St. Louis Fire Department. Those decisions are being made, particularly with respect to this promotion issue. It's about politics, right?
Exactly. It's funny that you would say that because growing up, you always thought that people just do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding out, and I found out quickly, people just are not going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're motivated by different things, money. They're motivated by politics. and what they can gain. And in this process is no different.
And I guess it's because I'm trained as a lawyer, and because I was a middle child and only girl, I always demanded the proof of things. You know, right. if you're gonna do something, here's the evidence. Why is that this way? Because I need to see the evidence. So I think that we have some evidence this morning that speaks loudly to the politics of the decisions and the actions that are going on in the St. Louis Fire Department. Set this up for us.
One of the things that I did a few years ago was something very historical. We came on the Liz Brown Show, and we talked about the issues in the St. Louis Fire Department. And as a result of that...
And who's the we in that?
At that particular time, it was Addington Stewart, our chairman, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we highlighted some of the issues that were going on. As you know, the transfers in the city... which we found out the chief couldn't transfer in his department. They were talking about injuries at the time. The mayor had demanded that because of some certain injuries that the chief modify his department, and found out that injuries were down. And we were talking about and highlighting those issues. And we made some charges with respect to Local 73, which is the White Firefighters Union. And Paul called in and emailed you and said that...
And who was Paul?
Paul then was the president of Local 73.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some of the things, or he protested some of the things that we highlighted. So we challenged him. And he came on, which was a historical event.
Again.
And he said some things during that debate that was very interesting. One of the things that he said was that they use politics to get what they want.
And, you know, and it's not simply enough for us to say that he said it, although it should be, but it's not. We went back in the archives. How many years ago was this?
I believe this was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Wow, was it 3 years ago?
Seemed like it. Time flies.
Time flies. How about this, Howard? Why don't we go ahead and take our break? And we'll take our break, and then we'll come back, and we'll play that portion, and then begin to break down the proof of that. He understands that Local 73, the White Firefighters Union, understands that they get their stuff through politics. It's not about merit. It's not about that this is the right thing to do. It's about politics, and this is coming from the mouth of the head of the president of the White Firefighters Union, Local 73. And we're going to hear that voice from a couple of years ago when we come back. Stay with us.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion T-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion T-shirts and softball team T-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous T-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your T-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I am here with Captain Wayne Lester. We're talking about the fire department. We're talking about promotions. We're talking about how things are done and why things are done. Part of this discussion about the promotions, Wayne, is we hear Francis Slay and others talking about trying to turn this into a discussion about merits, trying to turn this into a discussion about morale, trying to turn this into a discussion about a stubbornness and spitefulness, when the issue that we're facing here really is an issue of politics, isn't it?
Exactly right. Not only is it an issue of politics, it's about relationships, because Mayor Slay has a preferential arrangement with Local 73. If you notice, back when we talked about the injuries, it was Local 73 that had the mentality of, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the mayor with some erroneous information. The mayor jumped out there on Broadway and charged the chief to answer this issue of injuries. And when the media came together and the chief addressed them, we found out that injuries were down.
And did that sully the relationship with Francis Slay and his Local 73?
It continued.
Continued. And I want to go back a couple of years, because we have the president of Local 73, that's the White Firefighters Union, talking about how you get things done. Let's hear that. When you talk about the history of the city of St. Louis and the racial issues, and you talk about them in terms of the past, I would like to direct your attention to this letter. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and I have it up on the website, and you can go to lizbrown.com and see a copy of this letter. We talk about the fact that this is a city that is divided. I'm looking at a letter that comes from the St. Louis Firefighters Association, your letterhead, although your name is not there because you weren't the president at the time, but the president is represented, the secretary treasurer, the president emeritus, the secretary emeritus, all of the bigwigs from Local 73, and it's a letter sent out to some of your members, because some members said that they didn't get the letter, but it's a letter, and I want to highlight the specific parts of this area. It's a letter about the election,
mm-hmm.
and it's a letter supporting candidates, and the language used in this letter on your letterhead is, the north side will be out to vote, and it's talking about Irene J. Smith versus Francis Slay. The north side will be out to vote. We must get out and vote. Not voting at all is a vote for Irene. Now, you talk about the advantages to black people, black firefighters joining the Local 73, but you put out a letter that is divisive. You put out a letter that speaks of what the north side is going to do, and everybody listening to the sound of my voice knows that north side, we're talking about black people. So who is the we that we're talking about, and why is it that you put out a letter that is as divisive as this and then expect black folks to want to be part of your organization?
We live in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. Public employees do not have collective bargaining rights.
Mm-hmm.
Private employees enjoy, they can sit down with their employer and they can formulate a contract that has the working conditions in it. In the state of Missouri, public employees don't have the same benefits. So we have to get a lot of our gains through the political process. From the president of the United States to members of the Board of Aldermen and every office in between. We take that very important in Local 73. And this letter was sent to the membership of Local 73. I've heard you talk about the recent election. Mayor Slay received 25,000
votes. Hold that right there, Howard. So, Wayne, as we listen to this, I had forgotten all the details of this conversation, but at listening back to that interview that we did a couple of years ago, the historic interview where we had President of Fire, President of Local 73 on this show to talk about the issues.
Let me correct you. I'm not the President of Fire.
Right.
I'm a Vice Chairman.
Vice Chairman of Fire on. Okay. Talking about these issues and the issues that confront us, and listening to, and I had forgotten about that letter that they had sent out saying they are going to be out voting, we need to be voting. As I asked in the interview, who is the we in that? And the we has to be white people. They would be black folks, and the we would be white people. So I remember, and now I'm remembering that letter, and that's further evidence of who Local 73 is. And secondly, when he said that our only choice is to get our stuff politically. So that's how we're going to move to get our stuff politically. And so in doing that, Local 73 has forged a relationship, apparently a relationship that is unbreakable between Francis Slay and themselves.
Exactly. It's a preferential arrangement, mm-hmm. meaning that the mayor give preference to Local 73. The mayor won't even meet with our chairman.
Mm.
He put out this diversity piece on his website last week.
He put out a request for, we'll fix this by having diversity training, right?
Exactly. Then you as the chief executive officer will not meet with 42% of the a person that represents 42% of the people on the St. Louis Fire Department.
Wow.
I think in order to fully appreciate what I'm talking about, you've got to remember back in 2002, the director of personnel, William Duffy, was about to give a test, and he did something that was very interesting. He chose an African-American firm, Blockett and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
To put that in perspective, there has never been in the history of the St. Louis Fire Department in the city of St. Louis, and we've been a paid department since 1857, an African-American firm give a promotional test.
About anything?
In the St. Louis Fire Department.
Right, okay.
I can speak to the St. Louis Fire Department. That's interesting within itself. So he gave this African-American firm an opportunity. They administered the test. The local went to a federal judge saying that they were about to be discriminated against.
And I guess if we can just take a moment here to dissect that for a second, Wayne. The White Firefighters Organization believed that because it was a black testing firm,
right,
that they would be discriminated on because one was black and one was white. And if that is true, then every white firm discriminates against black people, right? That's the logic of it.
Exactly.
If by virtue of the fact that the people that are giving the test are black equals discrimination against white people, then Jesus God, what does a white firm mean with respect to black people?
But we've historically taken tests from white firms.
I know we have.
Exactly.
I know our community has, but I'm just trying to follow the logic and the insanity of the belief system of Local 73, of the White Firefighters Union. So they went to court and said, Judge, they're black. They're black. And there nothing had taken place yet. So this was preemptive discrimination, I guess, on their part, that they knew that they were going to be discriminated just by seeing the color of their skin.
Yes.
Nothing had happened. No test had been taken. Just by the color of the tester's skin, there was discrimination.
And that's what the judge said. The judge said, what are you talking about? Go take the test. And it would seem natural if the federal judge, because if you listen to all of the media and if you listen to their philosophy now, their philosophy is the federal judge said.
Mm-hmm.
The federal judge said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the federal judge told them to go take the test. But they didn't go take the test. What they did was go to a state judge and had the same claim that we're about to be discriminated against.
All because their skin is black.
And then the state judge said, what are you talking about? Go take the test. And then if you are discriminated against, come back. Well, they went. And they began to do certain things to sabotage the test. One particular gentleman had gotten one of his friends to go into the testing site, and he wasn't even a firefighter, Chris Mattson. That later came up in an investigation. Before the results were released, and I think it was a week of the results, you saw the mayor of the city of St. Louis, Francis Slay, get on television and stop the grading process. And said that there were allegations of cheating. And he did it based upon an anonymous email back in 2002.
Boy, they can get him to jump, you know, high, can't they?
Exactly.
They can get him to jump like a jumping bean.
So here you have, and I know that we got to go to a commercial, and I'm going to let you know what happened in 2004. Remember, he based his actions on an anonymous email.
On an anonymous email. Somebody cheating. Stop the test.
On an anonymous email.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and weather for the 7 o'clock hour. Northbound 270 at Manchester and Clayton. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's near Clayton Road overpass. Look for stop-and-go traffic as a result. Westbound 70 from Union through Lucas and Hunt. Look for that accident to have been cleared. That's west of Jennings Station Road, but it's causing a lot of stop-and-go traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow at the top of that ramp. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset. Look for heavy volume. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for heavy, heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270, look for delays. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge into the Chain of Rocks Bridge. That's up in the North County area. Look for some slowdowns coming in from Illinois. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and this weekend. An excessive heat warning is in effect until 7 p.m. Friday evening. Otherwise, very hot and humid, partly cloudy. Chance of showers this afternoon with a high around 101. The highest heat index will be around 111 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. Highest heat index will still be around 106 by early in the evening. Friday, hot, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear. Lows in the mid-70s. Saturday, hot again, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. And Sunday, we start again with a high in the upper 90s, but the heat index will be around 100, over the 100-degree mark by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees, scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 82. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou that's up next, a special Eye on the Lou on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The First Run Theater is presenting a playwriting workshop on Saturday from 10 to 1. Aspiring writers will work with Dr. David Crespi, Associate Professor of Playwriting in the Department of Theater at the University of Missouri Columbia. Participants are encouraged to bring their scripts for feedback. The workshop will be held at DeSmet Jesuit High School on New Ballas Road in Creve Coeur. Admission is $10, limit 25 people per session. Register online at firstruntheater.com or call 314-352-5114. Something for you from WGNU.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Captain Wayne Luster. We're talking about the politics of the decisions that are made on behalf of the St. Louis Fire Department and the politics that are making these decisions since we've had a man of African descent as the fire chief. And Wayne, talk to us about Francis Slay acting on when a black firm comes and does a test. The white firefighters organization, Local 73, goes to two judges and said, "We're being discriminated against because they black. And the judges say, "Are you crazy? Go take the test." So they take the test, but the political battle is not over. Francis Slay stops the test, and he stops the test because he gets an anonymous email?
That's right. And as per their SOPs, they gave it to the St. Louis Fire Department, the St. Louis Police Department, to investigate. So it became an investigation by the St. Louis Police Department.
Based on an anonymous email?
Based upon anonymous email. He stopped the grading process and said...
Oh, he stopped the grading process of
right.
the test. Okay.
So, and it was the week of, so basically they knew what the results were.
Oh.
That's what we're contending. As a matter of fact, they started the investigation, and people began to be targeted by this investigation. And all of a sudden, the investigation stopped. So as of today, we don't know what the results of the investigation was.
But
all we know is that a black battalion chief was fired and a white firefighter was terminated based upon their findings. But they never released the findings. What happened to the test was they threw it out. And it was interesting. Because
why did they throw it out?
They threw it out because, from what I can gather, is that the mayor in 73 didn't want it because William Duffy came out and said that we can salvage this test. We can eliminate a component on the captain's test that was not compromised, and we can still get a good result from it.
But that wasn't enough for them.
That was not enough for them. And to...
Now, didn't this test-taking firm sue this city?
Yeah, the way it works in the city, as you complete a component, they pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So they gotten to the point where all they needed was their last payment. And Blocking and Associates ended up having to take the city to court, sue the city for their payment, because they had done the work.
Mm-hmm. And did they win?
And they won, and the city ended up paying them.
And so it's just amusing to me to hear today, we've got to be concerned about all the money that the city has spent on these lawsuits. Well, look at what, if we want to talk about waste of money, we had a testing firm test, and the head of a personnel saying that we can salvage this test, and Francis Slay throwing the test out anyway, and then not paying black folks.
Exactly.
Not paying black folks. I'm not going to pay you. You had to be sued, and then once again Francis Slay lost in court, and the city had to pay him.
Exactly. But the end result was the political relationship of the preferential arrangement between Local 73 and the mayor's office. Then you have this test in 2004, and there was some specific allegations written by Eddington Stewart, and if the public would like to see the letter that was sent back in 2004 to Mayor Slay from Eddington Stewart, you can go to f-i-r-e.org. That's FIRE's website.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's f-i-r-e.org. And this specific letter talks about the allegations of cheating. Also, there's a letter that was sent to Mr. Duffy, and it gives the specific examples of who and what happened. And one of the things that, per the request of William Duffy, Addington addresses is that there were assessors socializing with William Pollahan the night before the test. And several firefighters observed Pollahan dropping the assessors off the morning of the morning after the night of the entertainment. This is how it reads. Also, two firefighters, Jacob Matthews and Andy Masnick, witnessed being given the scenarios for the captain's test the night before the exam. Firefighter Basher took his notes for the oral exam into the interview room, a clear violation of the rules stated before the exams. Firefighter Dan Sutter, Kenny King, Sturmer, Oligas, Mike Auer, Fisher, as well as Bruce Williams, Braun, and Herb, wore dark suits to tip off the assessors that were union representative to identify themselves as union representative. And it goes on and on and on about these specific examples. But what's interesting, at the bottom of it says, "Verily, truly yours, Addington Stewart, Chairman of FIRE." And Francis Slade did nothing. He acted on an anonymous email, but didn't act to these specific allegations of cheating and signed by the chairman of FIRE.
Who represented 40-something percent of the firefighters on the force?
42%.
42% of the firefighters on the force.
Yes.
So we have Francis Slade acting. But then you have to understand, you have to ask yourself, who's the target? If the target is a black fire, a black testing firm, you ain't said nothing but a word for me to go after this firm. But if it's allegations against white people, we're going to have a smoking gun, a videotape, a confession, and God himself coming down and saying, you need to pursue this.
That's part of that preferential arrangement that they have with the mayor.
And it's part of the politicalness that the president of the then president of Local 73, the White Firefighters Union, was talking about. We're going to get what we want. Politically.
Exactly.
That's not it. And politically doesn't mean ethically. Politically doesn't mean based on the best person. Politically doesn't mean based on fairness. Politically means we're going to get our stuff through our political, who our political connections are.
Not only that, if you, and I hope your technician is clearing up the CD from that conversation. There was a caller that called in that was very interesting. You might remember this. Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Called in,
mm-hmm.
A knee house, and he talked about him going into then Marty Abusi, the director, public safety office, and they were talking about who scored what on the chief's test and the transfer policy. And you asked the question, "Why? Who are you? You know, what position do you hold in 73? And he was a firefighter,
mm-hmm.
And it spoke to the whole at that particular time and still now. The interference from Mayor Slade's office in the fire chief's administration.
I remember that exchange. I remember that exchange because it was he. One of the things that I think I commented on and took out of that exchange at the time was, so you just get to walk into his office and talk to him
on very intimate
on a very intimate
information.
Yeah, you just get to walk in his office and members of FIRE, he won't even return. In fact, he said hugely ugly and negative things about FIRE.
Exactly.
Francis Slay has.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, I remember that exchange. I remember all of the stuff that he knew, and this wasn't even a person that was an officer.
Exactly.
In Local 73.
And it goes back, and I started, and again, this is a lot of information to digest. I started at a point where we can talk about the promotions and not even, you know, I can start back and let you know that back in 2000 when the list died,
mm-hmm.
When the mayor asked the Civil Service Commission, Stanley Newsom, because he testified in the Public Safety Committee when they had hearings, that they were asked by Mayor Slade to reinstitute a dead list. I think Clay was over that particular committee then, and you can call and verify it. Everything that I'm saying, I want you to verify. Don't just take my word. I'm not just throwing out information. The information is here. All you've got to do is piece the information together and see the big picture. The picture is that the Local 73 And Mayor Slay has a preferential arrangement that they will do, or he will do what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based upon their relationship politically. And we heard the past president, because he's no longer the president. Soon after that debate, they got rid of him.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's our number here. 454-0400, and also revolution@lizbrown.com. And the website address for FIRE is FIRE-I-R-E.org. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Of Person Roofing, I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Captain Wayne Lester. We're talking about what's going on in the fire department and how we have gotten here. 1-877-920-WGNU, that's our number. Let me get to some of our callers here. Sam.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And to you and to your guests.
How you doing, Sam?
What I wanted to, Liz, you know, I spoke to you during the week when I told you about Paul Harris having a copy of that test. And I was trying to tell you that he said he had talked to Percy Green III and asked him what on this test was biased towards black folks.
You're talking about the press conference that was held last week when everybody, when over 100 people showed up in front of Francis Slay's, in front of City Hall, and Paul Harris was interviewed on television?
Yeah, he was interviewed on Channel 4, you know, and Connors was asking him questions, but he held up a piece of paper saying, well, this is the test from the 2004, from the fireman's testing. And he said he had spoke with Percy Green III, and he said, well, he asked him what was biased about this test.
Okay.
And I would, what the thing was, what I was asking you was, why was he able to get a copy of this 2004 test? And that means if he could get a copy of it, that means anybody in the fire department back then was able to obtain a copy.
And let me let Wayne address that. Thank you so much, Sam.
I think once it's after the administration, it becomes a part of the public record. Remember, it was also submitted in court, so it could have been some of the court documents. One of the things, if he asks why was it biased, you've got to remember that we went to court based upon, and we go through a process. Everything is a process. You don't just pop up and go to court. We asked the federal government to come here through an EEO complaint. EEO complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And that the test did not test the skills and ability, nor was the content valid.
Now, wait a minute. Slow down just for a second because I want people to resonate with those words. Say that the two challenges that you all made as a result of an EEO claim to the federal government, you said what two things?
That it wasn't content valid.
Not content valid.
Nor did it test the skills and abilities of the position in which it were testing for.
Okay, so not content valid means what?
Meaning that it does not contain the material that's relevant to the fire service
and
in the St. Louis Fire Department.
And then the second part means what?
Meaning that it does not content valid, nor does it test the skills and ability, nor does it measure what a officer should know, whether it be a battalion chief or captain.
So when you went to court, you were not raising the issue of race. You were raising the issue of the competency of this test.
That's exactly right. That's the federal, when you go through the process of filing an EEO complaint, they come in and do an investigation. They actually come in and take a look at it. And once they take a look at it, they determine whether you have a case or not, or whether your claim is true or not. And in this case, they said Fire was right, that it was not content valid, nor did it test the skills and ability. Then you're given a right to sue letter, meaning that you can go to court now. This isn't a frivolous lawsuit. This isn't going to waste the court's time.
It's already been evaluated. So, yeah, well, guess you are right. Go sue.
Exactly.
Go sue.
And that's what happened.
And that's what you're still in the process of.
Right. And the federal judge said that you haven't been discriminated against, or you haven't, even though you might have been discriminated against, it might not have been intentional. Then he said that there was no adverse impact. Well, that's a technical point because you're right. It hasn't been an adverse impact because no one's been promoted. But once you promote, then that creates the adverse impact.
And how do you unring the bell?
You can't.
There you go. And let's get to, and speaking of this, speaking of what Sam just asked, this is another one of those things where we talked about how when somebody, that conversation from that interview from a couple of years ago where this caller, what was his name?
His name was Greg.
Greg
Niehaus.
Greg Niehaus talked of, demonstrates the intimate relationship, political relationship that the White Firefighters Union has with Francis Slay. Let's listen to this piece. Greg, you have a question or comment?
I have a few comments, and I got a question for Wayne, if you'd let me go through them, then I'll hang up. My first comment is, on the plaque issue, I haven't heard anything about it either.
Right? Are you a firefighter, Greg?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay.
And if Adam said it happened, then it happened. But I'd like to...
Not if Wayne said it.
I'd like to comment on the plaque issue, and here's my comment. This is a hard, like Paul said, this is a hard question to answer because both these, their firefighters are now dead. But what I'd like to say was, when they were alive, Derek had every opportunity to join Local 73.
Mm.
I had numerous conversations with him about that, and I had numerous conversations with him about your show because I've called before.
Mm.
Now, if he don't want to join, then that's fine. That's his, that's his prerogative. But Rob had no opportunity to join fire because of his skin color. Now, the second comment I want to make.
But wait a minute. Let's get back to the first.
I'll make my comment, then I'll hang up, and I'll let.
I need some clarity on your comment. That's why I need to get back to your comment. So if I'm understanding you right, you accurately, Greg, you're saying that it's Derek's fault that he didn't get a plaque from 73 because he didn't join
73?
No, that is not what I'm saying. If Local 73 probably should have given one.
You think?
Because fire gives them one, and that's fine. And they should have done that, and they didn't, and I'm sorry about that. But...
Well, you didn't say that. This is the first time you said that, so I appreciate you saying that now.
I'm sorry about that. They should have. Uh-huh. Derek was a friend of mine. Now, but on the other hand, when they were alive, the situation was different. Because of his skin color, he couldn't even join fire.
And, okay.
So that's my comment, and I'll let them guys discuss it. Okay. My second comment is, I had a meeting with Marty Abusi some years ago, right after the selection of fire chief had taken place, and Marty Abusi asked me as a regular firefighter in his office, he said, hey, what do you think about the selection of, Sherman George's chief? And my comment was, well, I think we should go down the list, that person for the job, that's my personal stance and Local 73 stance. We should go right down the list, that person for the job. He told me that the number one candidate didn't want a transfer policy. The number two candidate hadn't been on the track for some 10, 15 years, so he didn't have the experience of fire ground. And the number three candidate wanted a transfer policy. So I believe, since what Marty Abusi told me, that the main reason why Sherman George was picked because of this transfer policy. And once he gets picked, if he wants to go against the transfer policy, it seems odd to me that anybody can say anything when they get the job, and then as soon as they get it, if they're just going to go back on what they said, then...
But Greg, let me ask you two quick questions before we go, because we have to take a break.
Sure.
Were you an elected official of 73 when you were sitting in the office with Marty Abusi?
No, ma'am.
So why would Marty Abusi share with you that kind of information?
He asked me a question.
I know, but he shared with you really, really private information. So my question, I'm just wondering if a black person could have walked into Marty Abusi's office and gotten that kind of intimate information about what was going on in the fire department. Why would he give that information to you? Who are you? For him to give you that kind of private information about who was on one and, what the first one had, what the second one had, and what the third one had.
I'm not a mind reader, but I do know that he told me that information.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm just curious. Thanks for your call, Greg. It's kind of interesting that white folks can walk into Marty Abusi's office and get all this information.
I think that's very interesting.
Isn't that very interesting? You're not even
Boy, that makes me laugh today. Isn't that something? Doesn't that show you about the politics of this?
Exactly. For a regular firefighter to walk into the director of public safety officer and talk about what the candidates for the fire chief, the highest position in the St. Louis Fire Department, talk about what their score was.
That's my mouth is open. My jaw's dropped. So when I look at this letter here, Wayne, I look at this letter posted on Francis Slay's website, and I want to remind our listeners that this is a letter about fire department promotions, but there's also an email or also a letter that was sent to Chief Sherman George. And for the listening audience out here, if you don't understand the politicalness of this, understand, know this, and maybe this will help you. Francis Slay hadn't even talked with our chief before he posted this on his website.
Exactly.
Francis Slay hadn't had not one. His first conversation, I believe, with our chief was just this week.
Yes.
And that was because he was forced to do so because he was asked. The press, even the white press in this town, got that. They said, you haven't even talked to him? How do you post something on your website directing somebody to do something, and you haven't even talked to him? What can we make out of the fact that Francis Slay sees no need to have a conversation with the chief person ahead of who has a million years of experience, who knows exactly what's supposed to be done, whose job it is to decide who to promote and when? What do you make of the fact that Francis said, I don't need to talk to you. I'm going straight to the press.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's insulting. Mm. It's demeaning. It's angering because of this. Remember the suggestions that he made on his blog, mm-hmm, about diversity, mm-hmm, coming together and healing the racial divide. And you come out and dictate what should happen,
mm-hmm,
and don't even get the opinion of 42% of the people on the job.
That's
don't get the opinion of the expert in the St. Louis Fire Department, but just consummate this preferential arrangement between you and 73.
And all because he's black.
I want to just say this. We're going to give you more information. We can't do it within an hour. We're going to have an informational forum, community forum, Wednesday, August the 22nd, at 1020 North Taylor. You can go to our website to get the exact time and all of the particulars. We're going to bring in the international president, Johnny Brewerton.
You know what? What time is that going to be?
That's going to be Wednesday, August 22nd.
What
1020.
Time?
I believe it's going to start around 6 p.m.
You know what? Maybe we can try to broadcast that live.
Yes.
Let's talk about doing that.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about doing that. And I want to thank you very much. You know what? I want you to hang around here for a minute after we finish here, because we have some other stuff that I want to talk to you about. But I do want to thank you very much, Captain Lester, for coming on this morning and talking about that. I saw that Charles Quincy Troop was on the line. I know he wanted to get on, but we didn't have enough time to get to him. But maybe we might be able to continue this out a little bit more. Thank you so much.
All right.
Listen, folks, Justice for Reggie is next. Jamala Rogers will be joining us. Stay with us.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Be careful, my brother. Stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. We could be just hours away from finding out the fate of the six men trapped in a Utah coal mine. Rescue crews drilling two holes in the mountain believe one of them will punch through sometime this afternoon. ABC's Neil Karlinski is in Huntington, Utah.
They've actually made real progress here after days of setbacks. Mine officials now say they're within only hours of reaching the area where the trapped miners are believed to be with one of their small drill holes from above. Now, this is only a hole a little more than 2 inches big, but they say it's big enough to determine if these miners are alive, and if they are alive, big enough to communicate with them and get them food and water. Larger holes, those big enough to actually get these guys out, are still a good 6 days away.
One man described it as a real jerk when an earthquake rattled windows and shook shelves in the Los Angeles area. It had a magnitude of 4.5. Endeavour blasted back into space yesterday after a long layoff for a major mechanical makeover. ABC's Vic Ratner is at the Kennedy Space Center.
For launch director Mike Lineback,
it's good to have Endeavour back in the fleet.
After 4 years off for modernization, Endeavour executed a flawless liftoff, carrying seven astronauts, including Barbara Morgan, who had waited 22 years after the Challenger disaster to get a seat on this flight.
I know she's having a whale of a time right now.
Endeavour is now chasing the space station across the sky for a planned link up tomorrow. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Opera singer Luciano Pavarotti has been in an Italian hospital for a couple of days where a spokesman says he's undergoing tests. Pavarotti had pancreatic cancer surgery last year. A new poll suggests the Barry Bonds home run history conquest isn't a feel-good event for everyone. A Business Journal survey found 42% of readers feel he deserves an asterisk next to his name in the record books. 27% don't think he belongs in the record books. Only 18% think he deserves it. 11% said they didn't care. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
I wish we could redo the kitchen.
We can't afford it.
And we could sure use new flooring.
We can't afford it.
The Home Depot can give us 10% off.
Get in the car.
Got a project in mind? Open a new Home Depot credit card account and get 10% off your first purchase when you put it on the card.
Hurry up, honey. We're burning daylight.
You can do it. We can help. Valid through August 15th in U.S. only. Maximum discount $200. Subject to approved available credit. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer when you buy four select Goodyear tires. Or double your gift card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Plus, the Goodyear Get There with a Winner tire sale is going full throttle. Winners get there with Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR. Offers end August 25th. For complete details and location nearest you, visit GoodyearTires.com. Certain restrictions and conditions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks of the property of their respective owners.
It's a big legal victory for J-Lo over an ex. ABC's Dave Alpert explains.
Jennifer Lopez is even richer now that she's been awarded over $500,000 from a lawsuit she filed against her first husband. Lopez claimed Ohani Noah breached a confidentiality agreement when he planned to publish a tell-all book. The suit claimed he offered not to go ahead with the book if she paid him $5 million. Lopez also won a permanent injunction barring Noah from criticizing, denigrating, or disparaging his ex-wife. The book was written with a ghostwriter but never published. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
Experts say the chances were 1 in 200 million. A British woman gave birth to rare identical triplets in Austria. Weighing just over 3 pounds each, they're named Zoe, Kim, and Amy, and were born prematurely at about 8 months. They were delivered by C-section and conceived without the aid of fertility drugs. Hospital officials say the mother is doing well, and the babies are being closely monitored. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with this WGNU local report. In the news this Thursday, an East St. Louis mother will not face charges in the shooting of her son. The St. Clair County State's Attorney's Office is declining to prosecute the woman because the victim refuses to cooperate. Police believe the son, who was shot in the chest after a fight with his father Monday morning, may be paralyzed. The mother was released from jail Tuesday. The son is at an area hospital. The identities of those involved are not being released. A former police officer is in jail charged with threatening a sexual abuse victim to get him to recant his accusations. Prosecutors allege that former Pine Lawn Reserve police officer Martini Haynes threatened the boy to get him to say his accusations against former Assistant U.S. Attorney Eric Tolan were made up. Tolan was arrested Tuesday. Haynes was arrested Wednesday for victim tampering. Despite a judge's ruling against it, supporters of a new Missouri law allowing trained midwives to deliver babies vow to continue the fight. A judge in Cole County struck down the law, saying it was deceptively written because it was attached to a health insurance bill. Among those supporting the law is State Senator John Loudon of Chesterfield, who spearheaded the provision. Physicians and professional medical groups typically oppose the measure. Loudon and groups supporting the law plan to appeal the ruling. That's the news up to 8 o'clock this Thursday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now with a check on traffic, here's Howard Morton.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 between West Forest and Ann Lucas and Hunt. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason. Stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident. Shoulders block as west of 270. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Gravois. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. That's on the exit lane to Gravois Road. Westbound Kingbridge traffic looking good from the Illinois Bank in the landing. Just expect delays as it's just a slow crawl across the bridge. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for your usual delays, especially in the left-hand lanes. Northbound 270 from 44th through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays at the top of that ramp. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass through 270, look for slowdowns there. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley, look for some delays there. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset Road, heavy volume there. Northbound 270 from Dorset into the 70 exits, look for slowdowns in those exit lanes. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for slowdowns. Westbound 270 up in North County from Canal Bridge into Chain of Rocks, look for slowdowns there. And southbound 270 from Doherty Ferry through Big Bend, there was an accident that's been cleared onto the ramp of Big Bend. Look for heavy volume as a result. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and this weekend. An excessive heat warning is in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. Otherwise, very hot and humid today, partly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 101 with the heat index reaching around the 111 mark by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s, but the heat index will be around 106 in the evening. Friday, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Friday evening, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. Saturday, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. Saturday evening, pretty much the same, mostly clear, with a low in the mid-70s. And Sunday, it all returns again, hot, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 90s. The heat index will reach over the 100-degree mark by Sunday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 87 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Jamala Rogers and Liz Brown are on the way with Justice for Reggie. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Very good. Jamala, we have a very interesting conversation in store for us this morning on Justice for Reggie.
We do. Before we introduce the guest for this morning, I just wanted to let the listening audience know that we've had, you got two, you know, bad news for this morning. I hate to be the bearer of that. One is the Eighth Circuit Court has refused to hear the lethal injection case, which means that the three-panel judge who says that lethal injection in Missouri is not unconstitutional stands. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that we can proceed on with the death penalty here in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the attorneys of Michael Taylor will appeal that decision to the U.S. Supreme Court, but we don't know what could happen in the meantime. The other bad news is, and I made the announcement last week, that Brian Kinder Bay was dying of cancer. He died yesterday. So he passed, and so I'd like to extend our heartfelt sympathy to his family this morning.
Remind us of Brian Kinder Bay.
Brian Kinder, and I hope to see if we could get somebody on there after they some of the dust from this trauma settles. But he's been on death row for a number of years. His DNA motion is in process and was due maybe in a couple of months. So obviously he will not be alive to hear that. And one of the interesting things that I was hearing was that it took the prison a year to give him the kind of treatment that he needed for his cancer, a year out. Even once he was diagnosed. So, you know, that's just some of the things that we talked about the day that Reggie hurt his leg and he was not getting any. And I said, this is symptomatic of all of the inmates who don't get that kind of medical treatment. So Brian Kinder has, you know, transitioned, and many, many supporters will continue that struggle for justice to free him even in death.
And in a few minutes, we're going to take our normal break, but when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with the author of Chasing Justice. And one of the things that I think is fascinating about this story is a endorsement from a former FBI director and a federal judge. And I wanted to share the endorsement because I think that this is very compelling about this story. William S. Sessions, former FBI director and federal judge, says, Carrie Max Cook has written a brutal but compelling account of his 22 years on death row for a murder he didn't commit. The book depicts his struggles against all odds to free himself from an inept justice system that would not let go, despite mounting and eventually overwhelming evidence of his innocence. What is perhaps most amazing is the grace with which he now lives his life as a free man, determined to prevent others from suffering the horrors that he endured. We will be back with Carrie Max Cook, author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After 2 Decades on Death Row for a Crime I Did Not Commit. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and this is Justice for Reggie. Stay with us.
And the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Kirby Van Hirsch, you won't believe your eyes. At this thrill-a-minute production, packed full of astonishing disappearing acts, huge illusions, and exotic animals. See a royal white tiger, a unicorn, a helicopter appearing in 4 seconds flat, assistants cut in half, one-of-a-kind surprises, and more. Plus, take a magical mystery tour backstage with Kirby and his big cast. Kirby Van Birch. Millions have been amazed. Now it's your turn. Kirby Van Birch Theater, Highway 248, Branson, Missouri, 417-337-7140.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work, and it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And before we get to our conversation with Carrie Max Cook, I want to tell everybody that Captain Wayne Lester has graciously agreed to continue his conversation about the St. Louis Fire Department promotions and Francis Slay's efforts to make this a political issue as opposed to a safety issue. We're going to continue that conversation in the 9 o'clock hour, so please stay with us and join us at 9 o'clock when Captain Wayne Lester continues this conversation about the St. Louis Fire Department and where we are. Now, I guess let us bring now author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After 2 Decades on Death Row for a Crime I Didn't Commit, Carrie Max Cook, who's joining us from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
I'm
pretty good. Pretty
good. How are
you?
Good. I'm doing great.
Very good.
And thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Carrie, take us back to August 1977.
August 1977, the year prior to that, I'd been in a little trouble running away from home, stole some cars with some other boys at school, skipped school. The law enforcement called it joyriding. The judge called it car theft, and I got punished for that. Moved to Tyler, Texas for a little while, met this girl out at this apartment complex swimming pool named Linda Jo Edwards. I was 19, she was 21, and we talked out by the pool. It culminated with her inviting me back to her apartment, and we made out, and she put some hickeys on my neck, and like any 19-year-old, I bragged about it. I told a bunch of people about it, and 3-4 days later, she's found brutally raped and murdered. 2 months later, I was arrested for her murder. The original suspect, her married ex-lover, the only eyewitness, she came into the apartment at 12:30 at night. She described a man with silver hair cut above the ears, approximately her height, 5'7", and wearing white tennis shorts. Well, that described her original ex-boyfriend, a man named James Mayfield. He was 45 years old and married. The first thing Mayfield did was, James Mayfield, when the police wanted to question him and bring him in connection with the rape and murder of his ex-girlfriend, well, he hired a well-known prominent lawyer, the police department then, he told the police that you either charge my client or you formally charge him, or you cease all, he invoked his right to counsel and said he couldn't interrogate him or nothing. So that stopped the police from pursuing and developing James Mayfield as a suspect. Well, I learned a long time ago that there's two types of justice in America. There's Saks Fifth Avenue for the rich, and there's Kmart justice for the poor. So, well, that's what happened to me. I got in the line of the Kmart. So then, go back to me, they found my fingerprint where I'd had that meeting with Linda Jo Edwards 2 or 3 days before she was found murdered. Well, they aged that fingerprint and said it was a 6 to 12 hours old. And then Paula Rudolph completely changed her testimony. And I became the person she saw in the apartment. And when confronted with pictures of my hair long and brown and to my shoulders, a light made the hair look silver, then the light cut it. Just suffice it to say, Liz, Jamal, my story went down in history as one of the worst examples of police and prosecutorial misconduct in American history.
Well, take us back to when you were 19 years old and the police came to you and they said, we are arresting you for the murder of Linda Jo Edwards. Did you get a lawyer? Did you call your mom? Did you call your dad? What did you do? How did you respond to this?
I responded with shock, but I'd been in a little bit of trouble before. I didn't trust police. Tried to talk to them, tried to tell them, didn't know what they were talking about. They weren't taking no for an answer. So I stopped talking to them at that point. They flew me back to Tyler, Texas. I was working as a bartender just outside of Houston, and they flew me back and tried all kind of tactics. If you didn't do it, what is your semen doing at the crime scene? I said, that's a lie. I know that's impossible. I never had sex with her. I know that's not possible. Well, if you didn't do it, what are your pubic hairs doing on the body? I said, that's impossible. So I just, you know, shut down because I knew they were scaring me really badly. And this time we weren't talking about car theft or kicking some windows out. We were talking about rape and murder. So, you know, I was terrified. Well, four days later, in solitary confinement, they let my parents in. And, you know, my parents were scared to death, and I was terrified. But I thought it would go away. I never thought what would happen would happen. It'd be a trial, hearings. I mean, I thought it was going to just, you know, be something like before. I'd been in a little trouble. I got no bail by the grand jury. Witnesses admitted, you know, the truth, and it was over. And so I wasn't prepared for what happened to happen, but my mom and dad hired a couple of lawyers in the neighboring county of Cherokee, where my family was from, and I guess I was from, and they could only afford to pay him $500, and, well, in Texas, like anywhere else, you get what you pay for.
And so when you went to court, did you testify?
No, I didn't testify because, like any other case in America, in a system that tends to favor the prosecution, lawyers never put you on the stand for two reasons. One, for legal reasons, you waive appellate issues on appeal once you take the stand. And the other reason is that when a defendant in America takes the stand, any and everything, including the kitchen sink, is admissible. It doesn't have to result in a final conviction in order to be admissible in a court of law. So, in other words, prosecute, and they do this as well, they'll say, like, so when you beat your wife or you raped your wife in the summer of 1972, there can be absolutely no evidence of that, never an arrest for anything like that, not even a record of something like that. But that doesn't stop police and prosecutors from being able to play with the jury and put things in the jury deliberation box that was inadmissible. So nine times out of ten, unless you've never been arrested for a crime in your life, you have a pristine record, and even then, it's rare for someone to take the stand, unless you're Oliver North or someone like that in government. But,
so you were comfortable with the fact that you were, I mean, you understood that you were not going to be on the stand. You understood that during the course of your trial.
No, I didn't understand much of nothing. I didn't see my lawyers that much ever. I was in solitary confinement for a year, a dark cell.
You were in solitary confinement for a year prior to your trial.
Yes, only time I saw daylight or a human being was when they opened a little bean slot and threw a peanut butter sandwich in there and no one talked to me. I didn't know much of nothing. When you say, so you understood, no, Liz, I don't think I understood much of nothing. I was born and raised in Germany. My father was a decorated career soldier, 28 years, and got back to the States. I was 14, began running away from home, ended up in one jail to the next, and finally ended up on death row. But I don't think I understood anything that was going on. My lawyers didn't come to see me a lot, didn't explain a lot to me. And during the trial, when I would ask about this or that or how can blank, 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 if they just tell me to shut up, that it looked bad to talk to them in front of the jury.
Now, at some point during the course of this first trial, did you get a sense that, oh, this is not going well? They may find me guilty.
Well, no, I never wanted. Well, I'll tell you what. I waited a year to get to that trial, thinking that would finally free me, and because I believed in baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet at that point. And my father was, like I said, a decorated soldier. Believed in my country. Believed in the Constitution. Believed that prosecutors and police don't make these kind of mistakes. Jails are built for guilty people, and courtrooms are built for most invariably guilty people. Well, I discovered. I discovered that wasn't true about the second witness. First, Paula Rudolph was...
Okay, and hold that thought, please, Carrie, because we have to take a break. We'll be back. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking to author Carrie Max Cook, author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After Two Decades on Death Row for a Crime I Didn't Commit. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Westbound 40 from Hanley through 170. Look for road construction reduced to two lanes. Expect delays. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Gravois. Look for that accident. It's been cleared on the exit lane to Gravois. Expect slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for traffic to be easing now. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry. You may expect some slowdown still. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70 is still heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Westbound 70 from Goodfellow through Lucas and Hunt. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume still at this hour. Northbound 55 from Bow Avenue into the 255 interchange. Look for slowdowns there. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. That traffic's finally starting to ease up somewhat. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and this weekend. Excessive heat warning is in effect until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Otherwise, very hot and humid. Partly cloudy. Chance of showers. High around 101 today with the highest heat index around 111 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-70s, but the heat index will still be around 106 early in the evening. Friday, hot, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 90s. Saturday, hot, mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 90s. And Sunday, it changes again. Mostly hot and sunny with a high in the upper 90s, but the heat index will reach well over the 100-degree mark by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 85 degrees, scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 87 at 8:31. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait. When you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card. And for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Justice for Reggie. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, and we are engaging in an interview with author Carrie Max Cook, author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After 2 Decades on Death Row for a Crime I Didn't Commit. And Carrie, we were talking about on our way out. You're 21 year old at this point? Were you 20?
20, yes, at that point, 20.
So you're sitting in a courtroom charged with a crime that you didn't commit, and not just any crime, but a brutal murder and a brutal rape of a 21 year old woman.
A mutilation murder at that.
Mm.
And I was sitting there. Listen to the testimony. First, Paula Rudolph, she changed her testimony from a sworn statement of a silver-haired man cut above the ears, identified James Mayfield, told police, passed the polygraph. Polygraphs are inadmissible in a court of law, as you know, but, you know, that was, she saw James Mayfield. And then, you know, changes all that. It's me. I mean, I began to feel the shift in that. And then, Doug Collard, the fingerprint guy who's, understanding of fingerprints at that point was a 6-month correspondence course. He comes in and says that fingerprint's 6 to 12 hours old. There's no way it could have been left at any other time except when she was murdered. And I felt the squeeze because I knew all this was a lie. And then the coup de grace was an inmate in jail for murder named Shyster Jackson.
That was his name?
Yeah, it was his nickname, Shyster. His name was Edward Jackson. He was known as Shyster Jackson.
So we knew how he was going to testify.
Yeah, and he came in and testified all these details about the murder, and that's when I knew that I was actually being framed. I would look over at the prosecution, not with respect, not as some misguided people that were making a mistake, but people who were deliberately framing me. I knew it right then and there because prosecutors then argued that, you know, Edward Jackson, you can't just discount what he had to say. He knew things only the murderer knew since we didn't release that information to the general public. And then, you know, they made him a secret deal. They dropped his murder charge down to involuntary manslaughter, gave him credit for the 22 months he was in the Smith County Jail waiting trial, and gave him time served and set him free. And then when he got free, he murdered another man. He was looking for another deal. In this case, he'd tell the truth about how they got him to convict me if they would give him immunity. So, but eventually he told a story to Geraldo Rivera how they showed him the murder pictures, coached him, told him what to testify, and I knew that is true because I was in solitary confinement. I didn't even know that guy, much less in a cell with him to confess to him.
So, when the jury went out for their deliberation, Carrie, what were you thinking? Did you think that they were going to come back?
Well,
with a guilty
verdict? There was this one juror, this lady. She had like a school mom face. I don't remember her name, but as each and every witness testified, there were only five, six, but I'd look over at her and she would smile. And that one juror was an indication, at least in my mind, that everything was still okay, that they weren't buying into it. So it was in the prosecutor's, it was after Shyster Jackson testified that not only did she quit looking over at me, but the smiles were gone. And then when the prosecutor's closing argument claimed that I'd forfeited my right to walk amongst the women and children, and told the jury that the reason, and there were no missing body parts. That was another part of the inflammatory aspect the prosecutors had manufactured to poison a jury. But they argued that body parts were missing, and the reason they were missing is because that defendant right there ate them.
Oh,
and one of the jurors threw up, and not only did one of the jurors throw up, but from that moment on, the jury, they looked at me all right, but it was with, if we could just get to you with a rope, we'd just hang you right now in this courtroom.
Did your attorney object when the prosecutor said, not only are they missing, but Carrie Max Cook ate them? Did your attorney object?
What really? Good morning, KJ. That's my 6.5-year-old, so things are going to get a little tricky from here on. But not only, here's what really hurt. Yes, KJ, hold on. Here's what really hurt me on appeal. The attorneys had improperly objected or didn't object and follow through and ask for a mistrial and preserve it, note the bill of exception. So on appeal, 9 years later, the nation's longest dormant appeal in American history, a record still to this day, 9 years later when they finally got around to my appeal, they said that although this was improper jury argument, although this was arguing outside the record, that it was waived simply because my attorney, my only mouthpiece, failed to object properly and preserve it for their review.
And I just want to pause, Carrie, because the case that this show is named after, Reggie Clemens, this exact same thing happened. And so often we have to underscore that this is not some kind of anomaly. This happens regularly.
Not only is it not an anomaly, but, you know, on a presentation I was working on, I used that very word. I said, here I was sitting on the worst death row in America, the most brutal death row in America, so brutal, so violent that a federal judge ruled it unconstitutional. It violated principles of human decency. And I was sitting on this death row in America saying to myself,
Who is going to believe that I was railroaded to death row by overzealous police and prosecutors? Who is going to believe? Our Americans are fed by the mainstream conservative media not to believe that these things happen. And here I was sitting on death row, not only convicted innocent, but railroaded convicted, not through mistakes, not through an accident, but through a deliberate, well, put it to you like this, much like a proverbial doctor that got caught in malpractice, they were trying to bury their mistake.
Mm. So you were tried, you were convicted, and you were sentenced to death. Carrie, what was that like when you heard the judge say, we're going to sentence you to death? What was that like? What went through your mind?
Life just sort of hung in the air in suspended disbelief. Then there was a funeral procession, leaving the courtroom and packing up and getting me ready to go to death row. All of a sudden, the hatred turned to just pat me on the back, you know, go down there and die a soldier. God's going to love you. Jesus loves you. And, Jesus didn't love me when they were trying to hang me, but as soon as they got the hangman's noose out, Jesus loved me. And everyone, was going to be praying for me, but wasn't nobody praying for me before. But, it was just really, really mind-blowing. And going into the sheriff's car down to death row, like 3 hours away, and Debbie Boone playing lightly on the Delco radio, barely hear in the background, passing trees and thinking that I'm never going to see this again. How could this happen? How am I ever going to get myself out of this? Who is ever going to believe me?
So you talk about being on death row, the worst death row.
Yes, KJ.
The worst death row in the nation and probably, close to in the world. Talk to us about that death row. What was that death row like?
Well,
you spent 13 years there.
I spent over 2 decades. I know it may say 13 years somewhere, 17 years in another place, 20 years in another place. All together locked up. I was locked up over almost 22 years.
But you
and
spent,
even the last year, Jamal and Liz, when I was waiting trials and so forth, they had me locked up in the mine even though I was out on bond. I mean, I was always under a sentence of death in my mind,
We're going to take another quick break. I'm talking to Carrie Max Cook. Carrie is the author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After 2 Decades on Death Row for a Crime I Didn't Commit. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. We'll be back with more of our discussion with Carrie. Stay with us.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And before we get back to our guest, I want to remind everybody in the next hour I'm going to be continuing my conversation about what's going on in the St. Louis Fire Department with Captain Wayne Luster, continuing our discussion about the politics and the issue of race that goes into the decisions and the issues that are confronting our first African fire chief at the city of St. Louis. That's a discussion that will take place at 9 o'clock this morning. You don't want to miss that. And back to our guest, Carrie Max Cook, author of Chasing Justice, My Story of Freeing Myself After Two Decades on Death Row for a Crime That I Didn't Commit. Carrie, let's move forward a little bit here. When I used the phrase 13 years, that was 13 years before your next time you were tried.
Sorry.
You were tried. You spent 13 years on death row, and then the case was retried, and the death sentence was reinstated, right?
Yeah, it was reinstated through another round of insanity, and that was this. By this time, I had Centurion Ministries, a nonprofit New Jersey-based organization that investigate claims of innocence in the private sector. It secured donations from the private sector, and then if they were convinced you were innocent, they hired lawyers. They went out in the field and tried to uncover your evidence, evidence of your innocence, and put it in a writ so you could go free. By that time, I had Jim McCluskey and Centurion Ministries, and they had uncovered this wealth of egregious police and prosecutorial misconduct, hiding of exculpatory evidence that by that time we had experts in the FBI who knew you couldn't age a fingerprint and signed on to it. Rudolph had changed their testimony. It was so clear. It was witness tampering. And just one after another, we could show the pathologist had changed the time of death, his autopsy notes to coincide with Collard's aging of the fingerprints, making it 6 to 12 hours old, and then changing that to coincide with Rudolph's identification at 12:30 at night. So all that was put in documents and hearings, and even a state district judge before the trial said that, yes, no doubt there's been serious prosecutorial misconduct in this case, but, you know, to the extent that there wouldn't even been an indictment or maybe even an arrest without it. However, the place for that is with the jury. It's not up to the judge to stop the state from being able to be heard. The place for that is the jury next month. So then we went to the jury next month, and that same judge granted the state's motion in limine, which is a legal instrument that pretty much sets a laundry list of things they don't want the defense attorney to be able to do. So then the trial judge grants the state's motion in limine. We're not allowed to tell the jury any of the history of police and prosecutorial misconduct in the case, no matter how well documented, and because the state argued and the judge agreed, it would deny them a fair trial. So that's how I ended up going back to death row. They were able to argue, use the same prosecutorial misconduct. They didn't have Shyster Jackson. They found another one, a reserve deputy. The caller came in and said, saying the fingerprint was 6 to 12 hours old. He now said it was fresh. And even one of their own experts said that you can't use the term fresh to in correlation with a fingerprint. There's no scientific way to age a fingerprint, not even say fresh, but they allowed Collar to do that again. And it was just one thing after another. As Jim McCluskey of Centurion Ministries would later say, on Catherine Cryer Live, he said it was like nothing he had ever seen, and it was hard to believe that we were sitting in America.
So then take us up to 19, take us to the place where you, that we're facing a yet another trial, and witnesses had died, and the decision that was handed to, or the offer that was handed to you about pleading guilty or doing an Alford plea. Take us to that place.
I wanted to take you one other place first really quickly. I was listening in the intro in the very beginning when you were just talking for introducing me, and you talked about the story of Brian Kinder and, you know, dying of cancer and the poor medical treatment and so forth. I sort of winced inside because that took me way back to the beginning, and on Texas death row, the medical care was so inadequate, so incredible that when you got stabbed or you got sick, it wasn't the actual wound or the illness you feared dying from the most. It was the lack of medical attention. We were treated by another inmate. And in order to see a doctor, you had to basically be having the last rites read and to get shipped off the unit. And even then, Liz, Jamala, when you got there, you died because you couldn't get what was wrong with you across to the doctor. You didn't speak any English.
Mm.
Anyway, but going back to your question, at this point, I'd given the state of Texas over 20 years. The judge had made some, two different judges had made some atrocious rulings. By this time, I became the case against the death penalty in America, and well, they just weren't going to let that happen. So, you know, they the prosecution offered me different plea bargains, plea guilty, death in 40 years, and we won't interfere with parole. I summarily rejected that. Closer we got to the trial, plea guilty, time, and we'll reduce it from capital murder to murder. We'll drop the rape allegation, and we'll give you time served, and so you can go free. Go free right there from the courtroom. Just you have to get on the stand and agree you're a murderer. And I summarily rejected that. There wasn't even a split second thought of okay, well, maybe. I mean, I looked the judge and the prosecution in the eye, as the record shows, and I said, I'd rather go back to death row, be strapped to a gurney and put to death before I'll ever admit something I didn't do. So then on the day of jury selection, they came with a no contest, absolutely no admission of guilt, time served, walked free from the courtroom. And I met with Jim McCluskey at that point.
And this is called an Alford plea.
Yes, it's equivalent. It's never been done in the history of Texas with a murder case. So I met with Jim McCluskey, and at that time, Paul Nugent, my lawyer of 10 years, Cheryl Watley from Dallas, and they all three said that, Carrie, we're in a little town, and by that time, the judge on his own motion had moved it to Williamson County, which had a law enforcement reputation for being the worst place in the country to have a capital murder trial. They were so, the deck was so stacked, pro-death penalty, pro-law enforcement. It had a federal penitentiary there. There were more cows than people. And Jim McCluskey and everyone else looked at me and said, Kerry, it's just, you know, we're not going to win. They're going to send you back to death row, and this time they're going to execute you. And so I took the no contest, absolutely no admission of guilt, and took the position that I'd rather come out here and tell the world my innocence as a free person than as someone sitting on Texas death row who the prosecution would always win and say that I was just some disgruntled raping murderer. And so McCluskey had always said, to help keep me going through the years, he would say, Kerry, one day the whole world's going to know you're innocent. Well, I wrote this book, Chasing Justice, and came out in Europe and New Zealand, Australia, and the UK a couple of months ago, and finally the whole world does know what happened to me.
And we can't end, Kerry, without talking about what happened 2 months after you took the Alford plea, 22 years after the murder, after 22 years on death row. What happened?
The original suspect was James Mayfield, who claimed she was a daughter to him, and he didn't have any sexual interest. Therefore, the prosecution argued he didn't have a motive, and James Mayfield became their witness. The prosecution became James Mayfield's lawyers. And so, anyway, 22 years later, DNA was discovered in a crime lab in Garland, Texas, and the prosecution were testing it so it would reveal the true identity of the rapist and murderer, and it was none other than James Mayfield, the DNA.
And even still, after DNA came out and said that it was not you, said it was James Mayfield, the prosecutor said that this is still not exculpatory, and that you remain guilty.
It was amazing. They argued before the DNA was found. I mean, not before, but before the results came out, they argued this would be the final nail in Kerry Max Cook's coffin to show that he had committed this brutal, atrocious rape and murder. And this would finally show the world, if nothing else, who committed this rape and murder. And just like Barry Scheck says in his book, Actual Innocence, that came out a number of years ago, well, once the DNA came out and it was a different conclusion than what they thought it would be, they simply changed horses, and all of a sudden they minimized it. It didn't mean nothing anymore. But you know what? This is what's brutal about it. If that DNA would have been mine, it was enough to show I was guilty, but the same thing couldn't show I was innocent. That's American justice.
And Kerry Max Cook, what is your opinion about the justice system? Do you think that we have a justice system?
At times, I think it operates like a third world country. I think it's very, very political. I think our American media all too often believes and trusts the prosecution too much. I think, as I said earlier in the phone call, there's two types of justice in America. There's Saks Fifth Avenue for the rich, those who can afford to pay it, and there's Walmart justice for us. There is no justice for us when you're penniless. And, you know, the American justice system is no different than any other corporation. In order to get anything from it or out of it, you have to pay it. When you can't afford to pay it, well, you pay the price.
And, Kerry, where can people get your book, Chasing Justice?
All over America. They can also go to my website, chasingjustice.com, and buy it. I hope it's a story everyone will be interested in and everyone read, because I think that we should care about what's being done in our names.
Absolutely. Kerry Max Cook, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Anytime.
And thank you. This is Jamala, and I know that you named your little son Justice, and so I hope he actually follows your footsteps in fighting for a more just world.
I do, too. So that's what it's about, fighting for a more just world, a legal system that's more honest. Because I discovered on that 22 years that the death penalty wasn't about black, white, yellow, brown. It was about the color green, money.
Thank you so much, Kerry. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Jamala, same time, same place.
Same time, same place. And, Liz, because of that ruling, we're getting cracking. There's a number of events happening next weekend, and we want people out there with those petitions. The Black Expo, Veterans for Peace, Black Pride, we're going to be out there with our petitions.
Excellent. See you next week. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with us.
Coal miners trapped in a collapsed mine near Salt Lake City, Utah. ABC's Jim Ryan says one drill could be just hours away from reaching them.
After days of setbacks and disappointments, crews trying to dig two holes to get water and air to the trapped miners have finally made some promising progress.
A 2.5-inch drill will access those miners sometime this afternoon. The 8 5/8 drill will access those miners by sometime tomorrow.
Mine owner Bob Murray says the larger tunnel to actually bring the men out won't break through for another week at least. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Huntington, Utah.
The heat goes on across a large part of the nation. ABC's Steve Osunsami is sweating it out in Hotlanta.
The heat, when you walk out of the door, it's stifling. It's soupy. It makes you wet because it's just so humid. Their temperatures are expected today to reach the triple digits, not only in Atlanta, but in a number of cities across the southeast, stretching all the way into the mid-Atlantic states. Add to that this incredible, incredible humidity, and it feels like it's 110 and 115 in certain places.
President Bush is holding a news conference within the hour at the White House just before he leaves for vacation. The space shuttle mission got off to a flying start with yesterday's liftoff, but NASA's Bill Gerstenmaier says they still have miles to go before they sleep.
There's a lot of work, a lot of challenges in front of us, but I think this is a great way to start out. The teams are prepared. We're ready to go ahead and execute the rest of the mission.
Before working on the space station, they'll inspect the shuttle for foam damage. A New Zealand couple denied permission to name their child Four Real because of the number four at the beginning has come up with another name that doesn't break the rules. The couple still plans to call him For Real, but they'll name him Superman. They came up with the name For Real when they saw the first sonogram of him and realized he was indeed For Real. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
I wish we could redo the kitchen.
We can't afford it.
And we could sure use new flooring.
We can't afford it.
The Home Depot can give us 10% off.
Get in the car. Got a project in mind? Open a new Home Depot credit card account and get 10% off your first purchase when you put it on the card.
Hurry up, honey. We're burning daylight.
You can do it. We can help. Valid through August 15th in U.S. only. Maximum discount $200. Subject to approved available credit. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer when you buy four select Goodyear tires, or double your gift card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Plus, the Goodyear Get There with a Winner tire sale is going full throttle. Winners get there with Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR. Offers end August 25th. For complete details and location nearest you, visit GoodyearTires.com. Certain restrictions and conditions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks of the property of their respective owners.
A new fantasy film is opening nationwide this week. ABC's Bill Deal has a preview.
The glory of IU shall be restored.
Stardust, it's a new age fantasy tale about an evil witch, Lamia. She's Michelle Pfeiffer. A flamboyant pirate, Captain Shakespeare, played by Robert De Niro.
Touché.
And a fallen star, Yvain, in the shape of a human. That's Claire Danes.
Have you seen a fallen star anywhere?
Yeah, this is what I found.
You're the star?
Asked about playing a scary old witch, Pfeiffer says,
I think I've gotten it out of my system now. Who knows? Maybe there's more meanness to come. I don't know.
Stardust, a story of true love and high adventure, all rolled into one. Bill Deal, ABC News.
Birds do it, bees do it, and according to German researchers, certain songs encourage captive sharks to do it as well. One song they particularly like is You Can Leave Your Hat On by Joe Cocker from the movie 9 1/2 Weeks. Another is Justin Timberlake's Rock Your Body. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with this WGNU local report. In the news this Thursday, an East St. Louis man is the first casualty of the summer heat wave. 70-year-old James E. Irby was found by a relative around 5 p.m. Tuesday in his home in the 2700 block of McCasland Avenue. Irby's home was not air-conditioned and didn't even have a fan. Temperatures reached about 100 degrees Tuesday. The director of a Ferguson daycare center is facing misdemeanor child endangerment charges after she left a 3-year-old boy alone in a sweltering van for about an hour Tuesday. 24-year-old Delia Payne is accused of accidentally leaving the boy in the center's van while on a field trip to the St. Louis Science Center. A passerby called 911 after discovering the toddler in the van, which was parked on Oakland Avenue. Paramedics rushed the child to St. Louis Children's Hospital, where he was treated and released. An attorney for the daycare center, John Shellhorse, admits that the center's policies were violated, but contends that the child was only left unattended for about 7 minutes. Two state agencies are investigating. Payne is the daughter of the facility's owner. She drove one of the two vans that transported some 30 children and chaperones on the field trip. And finally this hour, 100 brave people have 52 free meals apiece in Chesterfield. As part of the grand opening of the Chick-fil-A restaurant, the first 100 people in line get 52 coupons apiece for free combo meals. But the line started forming Wednesday, and those wanting the coupons had to withstand the heat Wednesday and camp overnight until 6 a.m. this morning. This is a standard marketing technique employed by Chick-fil-A. Even though the restaurant wasn't officially open for business Wednesday, managers provided free water, sports drinks, tea, and food to those in line. Bathroom breaks were allowed, and those who seemed to be suffering ill effects from the heat were allowed to cool off inside, but otherwise, everybody had to wait in the parking lot. A company spokesperson says all the coupons given away add up to about $26,000 in free food before a single sandwich is sold. That's the news up to 9 o'clock this Thursday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now, let's go to Howard Morton for another check on traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Westbound 255, there's road construction at Telegraph. It's reduced to one lane. Expect delays. Eastbound 40 from 170 through McCausland, there's road construction. There's road construction projects going on throughout the major metropolitan area. Just use caution, slow down, and give yourself a break, and give yourself plenty of time to get to where you need to be. Westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Northbound 270 at 44 is looking good this hour. And also at 70, you can expect some delays still. Eastbound 70 from East Diversity Expressway through past St. Charles Rock Road. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 is rolling well through the valley. And then again, from the just east of Mason Road through 270. Northbound 55 is on the move as well. That has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today as well as tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect until tomorrow evening. Otherwise, very hot and humid, partly cloudy, chance of showers, highs around 101, with the highest heat index reaching around 111 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. The heat index is expected to reach around 106 by early this evening. Friday, hot, mostly sunny, chance of showers with a high in the upper 90s. Saturday, hot, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and a high in the upper 90s as well. Then on Sunday, we've got the heat returning as you have mostly sunny skies, hot, highs in the upper 90s with a heat index well over 100 degrees by the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Just dress lightly, drink plenty of fluids, and try to stay cool as best possible. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 86 degrees at 9:09 and scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 90 degrees already this morning. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I need to mention to you before we get to our guest this hour, there is a meeting today of the School Climate Committee. Please be there at 6 o'clock tonight at the Phyllis Schlafly Library. That's right there on Euclid, I believe the corner of Lindell and Euclid, actually. The corner of Lindell and Euclid, Phyllis Schlafly Library. Phyllis Schlafly Library, right there at 6 o'clock tonight. There's a meeting for the School Climate Committee, and we need you all to be part of this meeting. We need you all to come out, if those of you that care about the future of our school, to be part of this important climate meeting. We need volunteers. We need you to be keeping an eye on our children and our school. So be there tonight at 6 o'clock at the corner of Euclid and Lindell. That's the Phyllis Schlafly Library. And we are now here this hour with Captain Wayne Luster, and we are continuing our conversation about the fire department, about the issues that concern the fire department, and what has happened with our chief, and what's happening with our testing, and the politicalness of all of the decisions that have been made from Francis Slay and his office, from the personnel department, from the positions that are being taken by firefighters on this. And Wayne, again, welcome back, and thank you for taking your time to continue this important conversation and on this very important issue. And Wayne, I guess the one message, if we get out any message today during our conversation, is I believe the message is the political component of this, the politicalness of that goes into the decision making. And the reason why that's so important is because we're talking about fire safety, but yet decisions are being made based not on fire safety, based not on people's credentials, but based upon politics.
That's exactly right, and I want to say thank you for having us over another hour. This is a lot of information to try to digest within an hour. That's why we're having a forum on the 22nd of August at the Fire Building, 1020 North Teller. And you can get more information on our blog at
f-i-r-e.org.
And get the particulars on that. The part that you mentioned about the political access and the political decisions of who's going to get promoted, we just termed it as the preferential arrangement that Local 73 has with the mayor. And we tried to outline each and connect the dots for your listening audience so they can understand the actions that have been taking place, and not by happenstance. Mm-hmm. It's by design.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we really need to continue to underscore the politicalness of this when we look at the fact that Francis Slay put out an order to the first African fire chief, saying to respond to me on these issues of promotion by date certain. And he didn't do that. He didn't give that order to the chief in person. He sent it as a letter, put it on his website, but yet had never discussed these issues with the chief. If that's not politics, if that's not manipulating the political process and the media, I don't know what is. We'll continue this conversation after this break. Stay with us.
heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am in the studio this morning with Captain Wayne Lester. We're talking about the St. Louis Fire Department. We're talking about the city of St. Louis's first fire chief of African descent, Sherman George. We're talking about the testing process, and most fundamentally, we're talking about the politicalness that goes into the decisions that pertain to our pertain to the public safety. And Wayne, you and I have been talking for years about,
yes,
about this issue, and we've been covering it in a number of historic ways. We've been discussing this issue of the fire department and how it runs here in the city of St. Louis. And a couple of years ago, we had, again, an historic show. We had the president of the Local 73, the White Firefighters Union, on the show, and we also have you and representatives from fire here on the show to have a discussion, because that had never happened before.
Right.
There had never been this type of discussion, and we had that discussion, and it revealed a number of different things. And I love history. I love looking back at history and seeing, you know, how things turned out from point A to point Z. And one of the things that we're going to play right now, set this up for us. This piece of history that underscores the politicalness of where we are right now.
Actually, what happened was, and as you can remember from the previous hour, we had some callers call in.
Mm-hmm.
Greg was one of them, and he gave us a very interesting view because he had went in Marty Abusa's office and
Greg Niehaus,
right, mm-hmm, and discussed the scores of the fire chief candidates with him,
mm-hmm.
And also his opinion. He also had a caller, which was very interesting, because when I looked and went back and played the tape, the very last caller
of the show, and it was a 3-hour show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Called in,
mm-hmm.
and this particular person was Chris Molitor, who happened to defeat Paul in the election.
So this was soon to be the new president of Local 73.
Yes. So you have all of the players coming in at that particular time in that show,
mm-hmm.
Weighing in and giving you a glimpse of who they are.
And one of the controversies that we were discussing at the time was this T-shirt.
Yes.
Talk to us about, set that up for us, remind us of what this discussion about a T-shirt. Well, what's the T-shirt discussion?
There was a T-shirt that, and I appreciate you putting it on your blog so people could see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a caricature of the fire chief.
Mm-hmm. It was a racist caricature of Chief Sherman George.
Right.
Worn by white firefighters.
Right. And it was, if you can just imagine, back in the days of Step and Fetch It,
mm-hmm.
They demeaned the chief, and they made that as part of their wear.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, one of the callers called in and said that the sales would be going up after the show,
mm-hmm.
And that they would change and get other colors. And this is what Chris Molitor called in and wanted to speak to.
Okay, so we've set that up. Let's go ahead and play that.
Can we have that?
Yes, you can have that.
Okay, let me get to some of our calls. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Chris.
Yes, ma'am. My question is, do you consider the Riverfront Times a racist publication?
At times, yes.
Okay, did you object to the caricature of the Riverfront Times? Because they're actually the ones who created it.
And also, there's a writer that created, Little Black Sambo, there's a writer that created all of these racist caricatures, and the decision that we have as adults is whether or not we would select them or not. So this, your organization or your people went out and selected the most racist caricature and made it a T-shirt. And apparently, according to this note that I have from Mike Stroud, it's selling really well. And it's, racist stuff does sell well in the United States.
Well, ma'am, did you... If you're so opposed to the caricature T-shirt, did you go so far as to call the Riverfront Times or write the Riverfront Times and voice your concerns and objections to the caricature that was created by them?
I have not had an opportunity to voice my concern and write a letter for every single racist act that has occurred in this United States.
Well, you seem pretty offended by the T-shirt, therefore
I am.
Think
and aren't you? Aren't you offended by it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And I had nothing to do with it.
Okay, have you written a letter?
No,
have you voiced your concern? Have you called the fire department to ask them to tell their members to stop wearing this racist T-shirt?
What I have done is I have too much going on in my personal life to take that issue up with myself.
But I'm supposed to.
Well, you're on the air, and you're harping on how offended you are by this.
But again, if the evidence of my offense is not whether I've called the Riverfront Times. The evidence of my offense is the fact that I am calling out the people who chose to replicate a racist caricature. And that's what this is about right now. This is calling out the people that have chosen to replicate it. And that's outrageous.
Another comment I'd like to make, though, in reference to Greg and having a discussion with Marty Abusi. When Marty Abusi
Sorry. We have 30 seconds here. I've got to thank my guests for coming on. Thank you.
So here we have a conversation with the soon-to-be president of Local 73, the White Firefighters Organization, who is coming on and wanting to know what I, as an African woman, am doing about the issue of racism.
Yes.
I mean, that was his attack. He didn't come on as a soon-to-be president of Local 73 saying, this is an outrage, no firefighter should be wearing this T-shirt, no one should be selling this T-shirt, I am outraged by this. That wasn't his statement.
No, and it was an opportunity for him to be a leader,
mm-hmm.
and it was the same thing that I was charging Paul with when we debated. What is interesting is that this same person, Chris Molitor,
mm-hmm.
Has launched an investigation. And I say he launched it based upon the preferential arrangement with Local 73 and the mayor. There was a complaint that some recruits were doing some work on some private property. This particular individual, Chris Molitor,
the president of,
president of Local 73,
of the White Firefighters
called the mother of one of the recruits and began to explain to her that the mayor's office, everyone's tired of the fire chief, and they're going to get rid of him. They're going to get rid of not only him, they're going to get rid of Captain Mike Richardson, Captain Abe Pruitt.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't somebody lose their job for something like that? Haven't people, oh, let me ask this question. Haven't people lost their jobs in the past for far less things than that?
Yes. But you have the president of Local 73.
Of the white firefighters.
The labor organization.
Okay. And you emphasize labor because?
Because that's their crown that they like to put out there. That we're the recognized bargaining agent. We bargain for everybody. Now,
so,
you're a labor organization, mm-hmm. but you're trying to get folks terminated.
And not only that, black folks terminated. Because
yes.
And then you raise the question of why would black folks want to join? Why shouldn't, I mean, we have black folks out here saying that black folks should join the union. Well, here we have the president of the White Firefighters Union, Local 73, terrorizing recruits' mothers. The
exactly.
same guy who said, I don't have time to call the Riverfront Times to tell them to stop putting a racist caricature. I don't have time to call my members and tell them not to stop wearing a racist t-shirt, but you got time to call the mother of a recruit and terrorize her, and then in your terror attack, you are saying that everybody is going to get rid of, all these other folks are going to get rid of the first African fire chief, his boss.
Yes, and then what you had was the mayor going out and launching an investigation on this allegation and handing it over to the police department.
So here we have,
it's still going on. Here you have, in the midst of folks saying promote, again, a police investigation.
In the midst
That's
of
the background of what's happening.
Mm. And we have actually one of the callers whose comments that we played from a couple of years ago, Greg Niehaus, he's on the line. He wants to talk, and we're going to get to him when we get to this. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 454-0400. Email revolution@lizbrown.com. And the website is F-I-R-E.org. That's the fires, a website. You need to get to that. Get on in. It's hot in here. Stay with us.
Previously on the Slum Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair? And nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut, which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night, 361-7127.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Well, Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Captain Wayne Luster. We're talking about the St. Louis Fire Department. And before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind everybody that there is a meeting tonight at the Climate Committee, the St. Louis Public School Climate Committee. School board member Donna Jones is holding a meeting with about the climate of the St. Louis Public Schools. We need volunteers. We need people to participate in helping to keep our children and our schools safe. We need people. We need to be organized. We need to do this tonight. Folks, at 6 o'clock at the Phyllis Schlafly Library, that's right there at the corner of Euclid and Lindell, tonight at 6 o'clock. Donna Jones is having a meeting with the St. Louis Climate Committee. Be there tonight at 6 o'clock at the Phyllis Schlafly Library. That's at 6 o'clock, Lindell and Euclid. And, Wayne, we were talking about on the way out about all of the politics that go into this. And listening to that show from a couple of years ago, it's just prophetic almost. I mean, it brings us to where we are right now, doesn't it? I mean, exactly. And it's predicted what was going to happen right now.
Without a doubt. What part that we didn't play was when you, and again, you said that was 3 hours, Mr. Hughes came on, mm-hmm. one of our old members, Faithful Warriors, mm-hmm. and he gave his eyewitness account of what the straw that broke the camel's back.
And remind people in a nutshell of the reason why fire was put together, why fire was formed.
Well,
out of fire.
A lot of things were going on at the time. Firefighters weren't receiving just treatment. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when they had the annual picnic.
The local 73.
Because what people fail to realize that everyone was in the union.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the black members, $5 and said, go have your picnic somewhere else. We don't want to socialize with you.
The local 73 said to all of his black members, and there weren't a whole lot of black members at that time.
Right.
There were not. I mean, we're not talking about as many as we are right now. We're talking about a handful of black people. They said, here's your $5 for the picnic.
Right.
Go have your picnic someplace else because we ain't socializing with no black people. Now, this was back in, 1940?
No. This was in the 60s.
In the 60s.
And they went to the union meeting like so many civic leaders and political people are trying to get us to do work from within.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to convince them we need to go to the picnic and socialize and have that social aspect as well as that work relationship. They refused. And Joe Hughes prophesied then. He said, I tell you what, we're going to get out.
We black members, firefighters, are getting out of this white union, the Local 73. We're getting out.
And you're going to wish that we come back in because the same benefits that you negotiate for, we're going to be taking full advantage of it. Well, the prophecy has come to bear, and they're missing annually $250,000.
So when we hear these cries from Local 73 or Local 73's supporters about we want you back in the union, you should join the union, it's not because they want to see your beautiful black faces. It's because they want your greenbacks.
That's exactly right. But what you got to understand and what the listening audience should appreciate is that before fire, there was no surge in African-American firefighters or women.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the existence of fire that women are allowed to be in the fire service and also African-Americans in the numbers that we represent. What they have done, they have lost that $250,000 and they want it back.
They being 73.
Want that money back. We've already drawn the line between the political connections and that preferential arrangement between the mayor's office and Local 73. They want to spend that $250,000 politically. But it doesn't make sense, and it never made sense to us to give you money to kick me in my behind out the door.
In other words, what Local 73 is asking of all of the members of FIRE, the African members of FIRE, pay us in order to so that we can continue to beat on you.
Exactly.
Pay us so we can beat you.
And as you played it, Paul said from the White House
mm-hmm.
all the way down to the Board of Aldermen
mm-hmm.
that our political influence is being waged and mm-hmm. being forged, which is significant.
It's huge.
It's significant because it's going to affect everyone. We started out the show talking about doing the right thing and how decisions are made. This is a thing where the people are going to have to say, the community is going to have to say, we're not going to let you turn the clock back. Not here, not now, not ever.
Not ever. Let's get to Greg Niehaus, who has been waiting to join in on the conversation. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say the day I talked to Marty Ebusi was the one and only time I've ever talked to him. That's the only time I ever met him. I've never met Mayor Slay. I've never talked to him. I've never met Sam Simon. So to say that I have some kind of special access is not true.
Now, well, wait a minute, Greg. Again, let's slow down because we have a few minutes before the break here. The fact that this is the first time and the only time that you ever talked to Marty Ebusi makes our point. It makes it even stronger that he had never even seen you before, but the only thing that he knew was that you were a white member of the Local 73,
okay,
and he just poured his stuff out to you.
First of all, I'm not a member of 73, but second of all, when I went up there to drop off the key, we used to watch the director of public safety's car, his city car, downtown.
We who?
The fireman at the twos.
Okay.
So that was part of our job. We'd drive the car over there, we'd wash it, we'd bring it back. And somebody had to bring the key up to the secretary, so nobody wanted to do it that day, so I said, I'll do it. So I walk up to the secretary, and she says, he wants you to bring it in yourself. So at this point, he doesn't know if I'm black, white, Lebanese, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. So I walk in.
But he didn't have the conversation with you over the phone. He had the conversation after seeing you.
I'm telling a story, and then you can figure out whatever you want about it.
So
I walked in, and he says, you know, I appreciate you guys washing my car. I know it's not your job. You know, he gave me the $20 gift certificate for Schnucks for the guys to have dinner or whatever. I said, okay, so I'm leaving. And he says to me, and now, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with me. He says, you know, who do you think should be the next chief? What's your opinion on it? And I said, I think you should go straight down the list. And he said, you know, the first guy on the list doesn't want a transfer policy. And I said, well, I want a transfer policy. You know, that's one of the things I'm interested in. I said, but, you know, why give a test to rank people if you're not going to use it? And he says, you know, and then that's how the whole conversation started.
But again, Greg, I just would ask you to reflect upon this, to honestly reflect upon this extraordinary exchange that you had with Marty Ebusi and his position. The fact that he stopped you and gave you this amazingly intimate information is a testimony to the fact that there are some people that are going to get information and some people that are not going to get information. We have right now a situation where the mayor of the city of St. Louis refuses to even meet and confer with fire, and fire represents 42% of the firefighters on the fire, on the force. Yet and still, a person who, were you a member of 73 then?
Yes, ma'am, I was.
Okay, so you were a member of 73 then. All you had to do was walk into his office and information just fell out of the trees. I don't think that it would be irresponsible of us not to comment upon, wow, look at the information you got walking in.
That has to do with me, and Wayne called me a nobody just because I'm private. I can't, you know, just because I haven't made captain.
Well, No. The nobody piece of it is you weren't a officer of 73. That's what the nobody was referring to, that you weren't the president of 73, you weren't the treasurer, you weren't the secretary, and I believe I said that as well. That's where the nobody part of it is. You're just a rank. You're just average Joe.
That's right, and I am. But for you guys to sit there and act like I personally have some special access,
that's
not true. I'm just a poor white boy from the South Side,
a lot of these guys. You did. Now, no one is saying that you went in there seeking this access, Greg. We're saying that because you are a poor white kid from South St. Louis, information came to you unsolicited. It doesn't come unsolicited to poor black kids from the North Side.
I know, but for Christ's sake, I was a wash boy. I was washing his car. How much more degrading can you be? And you act like I have some special. Some special power.
You did.
As white people. How do you know if it wasn't a black guy?
You did.
Would ask them the same
because
thing.
We know right now that the mayor doesn't want to talk to fire. We know that black people that have attempted to get that kind of information out of Marty Ebusi have not gotten that kind of information.
They shouldn't talk to fire. Fire does not let everybody in the organization, so they don't represent everybody.
The Local 73 treats black people in a horrific way, so why should anybody talk to the members of 73?
If they did, that was 50 years ago.
No, I'm talking about how long ago was the T-shirts? Long ago were the T-shirts?
The union had nothing to do with the T-shirts.
Sure you did. The union, are you a good Catholic boy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was taught by the nuns that silence is acceptance. when the 73 stood still and allowed those racist T-shirts to go out there, and members, people wore them, firefighters wore them, and they did not take a position against that on behalf of their chief. Silence, as good Sister Margaret taught me, is acceptance.
On their day off.
And I'm sure she taught you too.
There's nothing. If when people do on their day off, there's nothing we can do about that.
But yes,
the United States.
No one is trying. No one is saying that you should have stopped them. What I'm saying is you were silent in the wrongness of it. We now have a president of 73 that is calling mamas and daddies of recruits out there, threatening them. So we know that you all can call people when you want to call people. And my question, Greg, is
fire gets on here and lies all the time. So how am I supposed to know if that's even true?
Okay, well, how about if you want it? Why don't you have your the president of 73?
I'm not a member of Local 73.
Okay.
I have no access to him.
Okay, well, then why doesn't the president of 73 call up and say that it is not true?
Well,
we need to have that happen. Thank you, Greg.
I'm sure he'll be glad to.
I hope so.
I don't pay his salary. I can't tell him to do anything.
Why aren't you a member of 73 anymore, Greg?
Well, I had a problem with the previous administration, but I think Mauder's doing a good job, and I'm going to join back up.
Well, and you know what? I think that there are a million people out there that are listening would understand why you would want to join up with him.
Okay.
All right now.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. So, Wayne, as you listen to that exchange, one of the accusations that was made was that fire gets on and lies about stuff all of the time. I didn't get any specifics from him about the lies of that, but when you hear a person say that, I don't know why you keep saying that I have access, I don't have access, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think it's, you made the point, the fact that he said that he washes the director's car. And I used to wash the director's car because I was assigned to the twos. I used to drop the car off, and never did I speak with the director when I was doing that task. That's part of the task that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Never did I get that intimate information.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's clear that if you represent 42% of the people on the job, you'd want to know what they think, especially if you're putting out solutions about diversity and about healing a racial divide, and that's what the mayor has done.
How do you not talk to people if you make the position, as Francis Slay has, that his desire is to deal with and resolve the issues of race? And how do you say, but I'm not going to talk to the black people?
And that's the
issue. That's what he's saying. 42%, you represent 42% of the firefighters, period.
Yes.
You represent 98% of the black firefighters.
Yes.
And Francis...
In a city
that is over 50% people of African descent.
Yes.
And the guy who sits in the mayor's office, Francis Slay, has said, I'm not talking to you about black people?
Yes.
Who the heck are you going to be talking to? Who would you talk to? You have an organization that represents all of these legitimately. You didn't shoot anybody to get anybody to join your organization. They joined. And the guy that's in the mayor's office says, I ain't talking to none of you black people.
All we want is consistency. In 2002, the mayor came out on an anonymous email.
Mm-hmm.
2004, we gave him a signed letter with specific examples.
But he came out on an anonymous email and said, we got to go challenge the credibility of a black testing firm because I got anonymous email that somebody is cheating. But in 2007 or 2004, you all sent a list with names and specifics of cheating that was going on, and the same guy said, I ain't got nothing to do with me.
Exactly. And all we're saying, we want consistency for the chief executive officer in the city, which is Mayor Slay. Now, if you can just, or you feel comfortable talking about diversity and trying to heal a racial divide and then just talk to one group, something's wrong with you.
Well, my name is Liz Brown. I'm here talking to Captain Wayne Luster. You can give us a call at 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with us. Man, the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion T-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion T-shirts and softball team T-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous T-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006
Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your T-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to graduated licensing and media coverage of police chases. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget that there is a school climate meeting tonight. Donna Jones, school board member, is holding a school climate meeting. You need to be there if you're concerned about the future of your children and the future of education. It will be at the Phyllis Schlafly Library tonight at 6 o'clock. That's at the corner of Lindell and Euclid tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm here with Wayne Luster. We're talking about the fire department. We're talking about the issues of fire in our community. Let me get to a caller here, and then, Wayne, we have a real important point that we want to make about a call that was made in the 7 o'clock hour. Right. Let me get to Adam Long. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. I just want to make a real quick comment because I have to get into a meeting. This is concerning access. Several years ago, the fire chief tried some transfers, you know, to balance manpower and to put people in positions where they would best serve the city.
And we're talking about Chief Sherman George.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The transfer list was stopped even before the list was made public to the members. I wrote a letter. Actually, I called to make an appointment with the director to concern.
And who was the director at the time?
M. Simon.
Okay.
To voice my concerns about how this thing was being handled. It took me 2 weeks to get in to even speak to Mr. Simon concerning, you know, the matters of the fire department. And I'm considered management. So,
wow. So you're not a poor white boy on the south side. You're a person with
I'm a poor black boy from the north side.
All right. And it took you 2 weeks, and you were in a managerial position, and this was a crucial issue.
Right, because I had some concerns about how matters within the department were being handled. And like I say, I went through the proper channels, but it took me 2 weeks to get a face-to-face with Mr. Simon.
There you go. Adam, thank you so much.
Not only that, Adam is Battalion Chief Adam Long. He called in.
Right.
He's middle management.
Mm-hmm.
He handles manpower.
It took him two weeks to get into the personnel to Sam Simon.
Right.
And now one of the things, a caller called in the 7 o'clock hour and talked about a television interview that he saw of, I believe it was Paul Harris.
Yes.
A white firefighter. was waving some paper in front of one of the...
Actually, it was Paul Harris himself.
Paul Harris himself was waving a piece of paper on television talking about one of Fire's member, Percy Green III, saying, show me on this test where it was discriminatory.
Right.
And the caller raised the question, well, how did he get a copy of the test? And at the time you thought that it was part of the court case, that maybe he got the copy of the test through that, but you have since come to find out what?
That it was actually a part of the court case, mm-hmm. but only certain people were supposed to have access, which was the attorneys and the experts.
Mm.
And they had an agreement that you don't give out this information. Remember, we're on appeal. So he had a copy of this test, and I want to make this point. Even the people that took the test didn't have access to the test. When it came down to getting their answers, they were given what they did, but they wasn't given a copy of the test and how they answered.
So this brings us back almost full circle, Wayne. It brings us full circle to the criticism and the reason why you all were given a right to sue letter. The reason why so many people of African descent were having such trouble with the testing in the city of St. Louis because of all the cheating that was going on that people had, that white firefighters had copies. At least the allegations were the white firefighters had the copies. And now here we have Paul Harris holding a copy of something he shouldn't have.
Exactly. And it's part of the trade secret, if you will,
mm-hmm,
of the company. They don't want you to know how they do what they do. That's why they don't want people to have access to it.
Right.
There was a 15-year window, a period of time, where there weren't any lawsuits in the city of St. Louis.
About the testing.
About testing. Fire in 73 didn't file lawsuits because you had a 60-40 promotional rate or proportional rates of promotions. You had 60% of Caucasians getting promoted, and you had 40% of African Americans. They changed that system. The question has to be, why did they change that system? And for 15 years, it was working. There's an article out there, and you'll see it on our website, because I'm going to make sure that they put it on Fire's website.
Fire, F-I-R-E.org.
Right. That William Duffy wrote, mm-hmm. saying that this system worked, and for 15 years, there wasn't any lawsuits. But they changed the system, and they changed the system to a multiple guess test so that the answers could float out there.
There you go.
Why do you change a testing system that was working for 15 years? Why do you change a testing system that didn't produce any lawsuits? Why did you change a testing system to favor one group over another?
And this remarkable story, I'm looking at a copy of this article written by one of the people writing. It was William Duffy. And who was William Duffy?
William Duffy was the previous director of personnel.
I mean, they did a report. They did a study, a very extensive fire service testing in a litigious environment. So they talked about, in their study, they concluded that the test that we were given before doesn't give rise to these lawsuits.
Exactly.
So then why would they change it?
I go back to what I said earlier, was that because of the preferential arrangement between Local 73 and fire. My own personal testimony is that I took a test back in 1998, and it was based upon that old system,
mm-hmm.
where you had a written fire scene, and then you go on to the assessment center. And I just happened to finish number one going into the assessment part. They threw that out for grading inconsistencies, which I questioned. But again, I prepared myself to go on to take the next part of the test, or different test, and when I got in the testing site, it was all multiple choice. And I realized then that the local had gotten everything that they've been clamoring for years.
Local 73.
Local 73. A multiple guess test.
Mm. Let me throw this out at you too. Insofar as one of the reasons that the testing was changed in a system that was working 60 white, 40% black. I don't think that's working, but it's better than what is right now in a city that's over 50% black.
Well, when you compare it to 18 whites, and let me say this, the chief has promoted.
Mm-hmm.
He promoted when I got promoted. There were the list of 2,000. 18 whites were promoted and only 4 blacks.
Mm.
So he has promoted.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense to say that this is about race and he won't promote white folks. He's already done it.
He's already promoted 18 white people.
Over four African Americans.
I think
ludicrous to say he won't promote because of race. And 73 is making this about race.
Mm-hmm. And they're making it about race because it's a useful argument for them to play the race card, because the only people that gain advantage by playing the race card are white folks.
Exactly.
So one of the things I was wondering about is the motivation of wanting to change this test. didn't over the years Local 73 start noticing within fire that you all were studying for these tests, and
yes.
you all began making certain that, that everybody that was able to take the test, you all were going to teach them and train them and study do study groups.
Exactly.
And that scared 73.
Not only that, with the investigation, in 2002, I couldn't get promoted.
Mm-hmm.
I had no way of getting promoted because I had just gotten promoted in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be a captain for a certain amount of years before you can go on to the next point. So our philosophy, and let me say this, it's important that you understand this because you'll know where our motivation comes from. I'm a volunteer.
I'm talking about fire. Mm-hmm.
Our whole premise and why we're existing is to get African-Americans on the job, make sure that they retain the job, and up with mobility. Our members that serve in leadership roles, the chairman, vice chairmen, the executive board, are not paid people.
Mm.
We volunteer our time.
Mm.
We come from a perspective that we've got to reach back, each one teach one,
mm.
and you pull someone else up. I was a part of training, teaching, and the study classes, and I became the target of an investigation. Now, what does that do to the membership? Do you say, am I going to continue to stand and risk my job, my livelihood,
this
what's
was
going
under,
my family?
This was, and this was under Chief Satanics, right?
No, this was under the investigation that the mayor did in 2002.
So this is while Chief Sherman
right,
George.
Yes. This has been the thing. The police department has investigated twice under this particular chief. Never under Satanics, that I can recall.
Never.
Please come out to our forum on Wednesday, August 22nd. 6 o'clock, 1020 North Taylor. You can get more information at f-i-r-e.org. We're going to be educating the public on this because I'm convinced that it's going to have to be the people to say, we're not going to let you turn the clock back. We're going to have our international president there, Johnny Burlington, giving you a national perspective.
Excellent.
Also, we're going to be connecting this preferential arrangement, and also we're going to be dealing with testing. And you can see the article that Mr. Duffy wrote saying that that 15-year testing system worked.
Mm.
Again, Liz, we can't get everything in, but we're going to try to get more in at that forum.
Excellent.
And at that time. And we want your listening audience to come out. And I want to thank those people that came out in March at 3 days' notice.
100 days. A hundred of them.
Over 100 people came out on a 3-day notice. We appreciate you. We love you. And let's say and make a statement that we're not going to let them turn the clock back. Not here, not now, not ever.
Ever. Eva Wayne, Captain Wayne Luster, thank you so much for joining me, and we will continue on.
Thank you, Liz.
All right. Listen, folks, I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow morning. Until then, stay strong.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy demands tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black.